104.4 FM. Bigot Radio. Radio.
Yeah.
Bigot Radio.
Right with your fucking cheese in your mouth and everything. Eating cheese right in front of me now.
Bigot Radio.
Daddy's old LGO.
listening to Bigot Radio with your host, Jeremy McKenzie.
Burn it all down! Blow it all up!
Victims. He misses victimizing people. He'll say what you want to hear. It's just to get you into the candy van, okay? You know why your parents always said don't trust guys in vans with candy? That was his idea. That's where it came from. I think people would have figured it out by now. Welcome back. It's 2025, I guess. Does it matter? Who cares? Oh, the number on the calendar changed. Oh, there's a different number on the phone. The digit changed, so now I give a shit.
Yeah, ever since I was a little kid, I always thought that was dumb. You know, it's a New Year's resolution. This year, I'm gonna.
Why do you have to wait for the? Like, there didn't always used to be this obsession with like what you know. Probably lots of times in cultures and places where it was like, it's just winter. When is it over? Soon-ish. You know, it starts to warm up. Spring is coming, you know. That's your warning that winter is coming. September, October, they're starting to chill out. Okay, yeah, it's getting, winter's on the way, you know.
I need to know the exact date and time so I can start giving a shit. I'm going to stop drinking and eating cheese and lemon meringue pies for breakfast and going to the gym. But I can't do it unless the calendar says...
Do it tomorrow, today, right now.
No!
So, that's why. People are like, why? They always, the New Year's resolution people, they always fail, right? They always give out, the gyms are packed until February, March, and then, you know, they burn out and give up. Because it's a gimmick. You're not actually committed to doing anything or any real change. You just thought, you know, it's a blank slate. It's a new year. It's all in your head. It's just a nonsense thing, but, you know. What do they say? The best time to make a positive change is today, and the best time was yesterday. The second best time is today. So, yeah, I missed you guys. It's been a minute. How long has it been? A couple of weeks? I don't really know. I don't really remember how to do this anymore. But it's the tunnel anniversary, is it? It's about that time, right? Yeah. Cambie, how are you? She's already put me on the spot here. Have what? I'll wait for my thing. Have bred murder hornets. The ghost of Jeffrey the Bee, the ghost, should make headlines soon. Ghost murder bees, mayo free, all caps, 5 bee emojis. They have bee emojis, so that's good. Murder hornets with the ghost of Jeffrey the Bee. So is this like ghost rape? Is this like a succubus bee that like in your sleep and your dreams? Like how does it work exactly? I mean, not right now. I assume it's going to be detailed instructions. There's going to be some science behind this, I'm sure. Some data we're going to have to look at, some charts to go over. So just put your dissertation together and send it to my inbox, and we'll explore this program. And if I believe in it, I'll fund it. I will give you the money if I feel like there's something here to think that we could do this. I'm willing to try anything. We got to think outside the box, guys. We're up against it right now. Katie Campbell, how are you? Says Happy New Year, and everyone listening, 2025 is going to be the year of the white man and woman. It's certainly shaping up to be something like that. The fatigue is really reaching levels of volume and intensity that I mean, logically, they should get there. And, you know, I mean, you follow the trends and pattern inevitably, but it's another thing to see it actually start to happen in real time, you know, once it actually starts to take place. Yeah, it's real. Everybody's really upset. And it's not even just We're so taken advantage of. We're especially Canadians, but you know, European countries in general are the most charitable, empathetic, and tolerant and welcoming peoples on planet Earth. We are under no obligation to share anything with anybody, and yet we go out of our way to do that. And our enemies use these that internal sense of honor and righteousness and wanting to be the good guy, wanting to help, wanting to be the, you know, the savior, the rescuer, all of this kind of stuff. These tropes they prey upon people to manipulate them. They use it against us, and they use your good nature against you. And now we're living in a situation where our countries are overrun with criminals and strangers and economic advantage takers, terrorists, rapists, all kinds of things that a lot of people have been saying for years was inevitably the outcome of these policies. 5 or 6 years ago, when I first sat down and started doing this, I said, this is where we're going. And, you know, the usual suspects with the re and the tweeting and the, oh, it'll never happen. That's exactly what's happened. They just move the goalposts and they shift to something else to distract you from, which Elon is trying to do right now. He's crazy as fuck. Pardon my French. So as you may remember, I was kind of on the fence about him. I'm like, you know, he's, you know, I don't really know. Jury's kind of out. We'll see. You know, I don't really know. I kind of like, he's kind of funny. He's kind of interesting. He doesn't seem like a genius to me. He just seems like a guy that he's not stupid. He's definitely not dumb, but he's smarter than Jordan Peterson, who is a fake intellectual. He's a midwit who's actually not that smart at all. So, you know, I was kind of on the fence about all this and what are his real intentions and motivations and stuff. And, of course, there's that infamous photo of him with Ari Emanuel, I think, one of the Emanuel brothers who were part of the Obama administration back-end shadow bullshit pile. Do a lot of the funding. And they helped a lot of the government up here. There's a photo of Elon with his big dumpster belly. The guy is built like a laundry bag full of blocks, full of Lego blocks. His body is, anyway, like, dude, you're a billionaire. Pay someone to fix this. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, he's on a boat being hosed down like he's a dirty animal by this, Jewish royalty guy behind him. That's, you know, says a lot there. And, but still, it's, you know, you never know. But then there's the Adrian Dittman scandal. If you're a social media person, if you've been tracking any of this on Twitter, there's a Twitter account named Adrian Dittman who really likes Elon Musk. Really likes Elon Musk. Is all about Elon Musk. Basically, only exclusively talks about Elon Musk and Tesla and things Elon Musk, worshiping him, saying what a great dad he is and how lucky he is, people to have him around and all this kind of stuff. And he started doing Twitter spaces and arguing with people, defending it. And it just so happens he sounds a lot like Elon Musk, which is odd because Elon doesn't really have a traditional accent of any kind. He's born partially raised in South Africa, then partially in Canada, then partially he's a global citizen essentially. So his accent is a little, his cadence is very unique, distinct way of talking. Anyway, this just so happens Adrian Dittman sounds exactly like him. And uploads screenshots of things like where he has admin privileges on Twitter. And says things like, when I bought Twitter, and so on. So it's become quite clear to me. I mean, I don't know. There's no slam dunk unless you get proof of him at the keyboard or the phone. But I'm fairly satisfied. I'm 95% certain. That is Elon Musk in a sock puppet account
supporting himself and pop. So this is what psychos do. This is what narcissistic, insecure little bitch people do. They create alt fake accounts. We've all known people to do this. They'll tweet or say something on Facebook, wherever, and then their alternate account, which is also them, will come and comment agreeing with them or supporting them. Then they'll get a third and a fourth account, creating the illusion that there's all these people support this person. It's the same guy. It's pathetic. It's very sad. It's what the saddest, like, how insecure do you have to be? How tiny does your dick have to be? Very tiny, I think. Very tiny, I think. But that's what he's been doing. So I'm satisfied he's insane. And I just also want to point out, for a guy that is, he's running and managing Twitter. That's got to be a full-time job. He's running and managing Tesla, SpaceX, three massive companies now. He's also somehow one of the top Diablo 4 players in the world. It's a very popular computer video game, very nerdy, very complicated, sophisticated, like, you know, it's a nerd game at the higher levels, a lot of numbers and math and nonsense going on. So he's also, this is, you know, a lot of hours a week to achieve this, to get that good at anything. It takes a lot of time. So, and he's also on Twitter Spaces arguing with and tweeting a lot. So, like, I don't know when he gets work done. Like, when does he work? When is he at, has anyone seen him at work? There's a, I shared on Twitter and my Telegram from Greg Reese, formerly of InfoWars, who no longer works there, because I suspect Greg actually is a decent guy, probably. Doesn't like, you know. Anyway, he put together a little video on Mr. Musk, I think in 2021, that Red Ice had shared recently that I saw, and I reshared it and so on. It paints quite the picture of who this guy really is. He's a con artist. And America's in for it. The hell was that? Is that a drone? Is that one of these Chinese drones? More on that later. This is a crazy thing on the Sean Ryan show very recently. We'll probably get to that, but I'm kind of going all over the place. Let's go to read these on Entropy first. The ghost of Jimmy Two Skidoos. Is this actually you, or is this someone? Because we never knew what happened. We don't know what happened to Jimmy Two Skidoos. And we missed Jimmy Two Skidoos. It's like, why did he have two Skidoos? Was he towing one? Does he have one foot on one and one on the other, and he's riding both? Like, it doesn't – it's a strange name. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but he was around, and, you know, we had some fun. And then he just disappeared one day. And now this account, the ghost of Jimmy Two Skidoos, and it's like, did you – I just – where's Jimmy? We want the old Jimmy back. There's so many people. I don't know who these people are. They could be literally killing them in real life and then using their avatars online. A digital skin suit, if you will. Is it Jimmy Two Skidoos? Is Jenstein wearing him like a costume? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just here at my keyboard. This is all I have. It's just a lot of blood red iconography. That's all I have. I can't make these decisions. I can't tell you. All I can tell you is it's not really safe anywhere. Not on a skidoo. Not in Toronto. Not at the mall. You should be worried, Fogline. I'm just going to choose ignorance. I'm just going to let the song. Just remember, just soak up those childhood memories, guys. It's all going to be fine. Just pretend it is Jimmy Two Skidoos. Just pretend you can't see that it's just his face has been crudely cut off like Devil's Rejects and put on someone else's face. Just pretend, please. half the people on the internet are insane. We know this. So you can laugh, but there's a high probability that of all the people that listen to this, that someone has done that. I mean... Oh, there he is. Jenstein says, miss you all. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. OG Mango says he hasn't missed Jenstein. There's conflict. There's inter-community conflict. They fight amongst themselves with the super chats. And I allow it. I give them the space to do that because I got to pay for kindling, you know. I got to buy wood. I got to buy hard wood. Put it in the flames. Stay warm. Because it's Canada. It's cold outside, inside, in your soul, everywhere. Can't get warm enough. You got to get right in the fire sometimes. And, you know, and you can't do that because, well, you need to ask the government for permission to commit suicide here. And luckily, a record number of people do it every year. And by what was the chart? By 2050, we're on pace to be killing something like 400,000 people a year, something like this. We're already we're at 65,000, maybe 70,000 since we started in 2016. And just for reference sake, 60,000 and 62,000, I believe, are the rough estimates of soldiers killed from Canada in World War I and World War II. So if you were curious, is the government killing more of its own citizens than the entirety of the? Yes. Yes, it is. But that's a good thing because diversity or something. Intrusive thoughts, says the wife, and said I seemed off today. I told her I was fine and laughed it off. I didn't want to tell her that as I had my morning coffee and smoke, I watched a 15-minute video of two warriors in a war that no part being in brutalize each other in a gut knife hand bomb fight. Politicians do the lying, young men do the dying. Yeah, that's true. I shared that the other day. That's definitely the video you're talking about. I think it went viral. Guy's got a helmet cam and gets into a, it's a Ukrainian guy, and ends up. What is going on in these units? Like, I was in the infantry for almost 15 years, so this was literally my backyard. This was my job, and I don't know why. There's so many instances and videos like this where I see where it's just one guy by himself fighting another guy by themselves in seemingly no one anywhere near. That, like, I don't know what the hell is going on in this battle space, but like that's very unusual. But then again, unfortunately for the Ukrainians especially, but there's not a lot of high quality training or nobody really. They're basically just giving guns to people and saying, go fight the war now. And they all get slaughtered and it's over a million dead and something. But hey, you know, like he said, politicians need to Slava. So we need to kill all kinds of people. But, you know, since we're talking about the infantry, I got a joke for you. It's a joke. What a joke.
Transitioning out of the infantry is really hard, dude, because all day long they're just teaching you how to kill people. You learn how to kill people in a team, in the dark, in the desert, in the jungle, in the city, in the woods, in the mountains, in the sky, in the water. And then you get out and you go into the workforce. You gotta hang out at Dave and Buster's with real people. And you gotta act like you're not thinking about killing people. And the hardest part is that you meet people and they need killing. You can't kill them. You gotta wait till it's legally feasible to do so. And even then, because you waited, now it's premeditated and you still can't do it. You gotta kill a motherfucker serendipitously, like a meat cute. But a kill cue. You gotta bump into a motherfucker coming out of a bank like, oh shit, my bad, dude. I'm sorry about that. Wait a minute, dude. Are you robbing this bank? That's crazy. I have a gun too. What's your sign? And then the doctors are like, so how's your sleep? Great. It's where I get all my killing done.
Not bad. Must be a comedian. There's a link for some shows there. Comedian, I guess. Funny. Because, you know, what they say about jokes are always the funniest when there's no truth to them whatsoever. Right? Probably nervous family member. Is that not real? I mean, they don't. Oh, no. A meat cube? I'm a meat cube, says Intrusive Thoughts. Mr. Chow's poltergeist says, should I just see myself out? Why, again, there's just so many ghosts. I don't even remember a Mr. Chow. Was there a Mr. Chow? There's Olivia Chow.
We're going to get a new transit system. Old one, very bad. Not work very good. New one, be better.
How are you the mayor of a... I don't... You know. It's hard to rehash the same things over... I've beaten things to death. You know when you say you beat a dead horse? Like, I've done that. I've beaten it into a paste, into a fine powder, a mist. A fog. An invisible gas. And there's nothing left, you know. I think anybody's surprised, but to Katie's point, I think they needed a few years of marinating in it. I think most people needed to marinate in the nonsense, in the misery, in the fear, in the wreckage, in the ruin, in the destruction, in the ongoing evisceration of their home to reach a point where they are now ready to start saying something or doing something or getting involved in something. Because at first, you know, speaking from experience, you can chalk it up to a one-time incident, isolated incident, just because this happened doesn't mean everybody, blah, yada, yada, right?
We've all heard that. We've all done that, probably. Unless you were raised in an extremist household. I was not. Then there's more, and then there's more. And, you know, there's other voices out there in the wilderness saying, they're bad. Stay away. They're bad. You know, don't listen to them. They're a bunch of crazy extremist people. But it keeps happening, and they keep being right. And for some reason, despite how much we are told to hate those people, they still keep trying to come in here and claiming to help us. They want to help us, they say. Because they're so evil, I guess. They seem to. No one seems to care about the country, which is the people, more than the extremists do. But they're bad. Who you need to follow are the people who care very little. You know, not at all. Who dress up in costumes and worship other countries, other nations, other peoples, other religions at your expense. You know, not the extremists. Those people. That's who you want to support. Don't support the people that are diehard, willing to, you know, fight, kill, and, you know, potentially die to advance the interests or the well-being or the safety of their own people. No, we don't listen to them. Listen to the career politicians who have never had a real job. Never had a real job. Okay? For all of these conservatives that would go on and on about Trudeau or whoever not being qualified, he's just not ready. Remember that? Not ready to do what? Not ready to lead a nation? Why is that?
He doesn't have any experience. Oh, he was a snowboarding instructor and a substitute teacher.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's not a bad point. You would want your national leader to be someone of a little more worldly wisdom. Someone who's maybe been tested a little more than substitute teaching and snowboarding instructing. Drama school or whatever it was, right? Is that appropriate to be? I don't know. I don't think it is. I think we should have higher standards than that. But just to put the shoe on the other foot.
Oh, yeah, red team's stupid.
Sit down, blue team. You're actually arguably stupider than they are. You know, because your guy has never had any job. Trudeau he was a drama teacher part-time. A snowboarding / potentially skiing instructor part-time. He was using it to pick up chicks. And I think that's it. Pierre has had no jobs at all. He went to university with the help of his two gay dads, I suppose. And now he became a politician immediately. Wrote a paper about how he can't wait to be prime minister like 20 some years ago while he's, you know, hanging out and being buddies with Ezra Levant. And he's been in politics ever since. Now he's worth $25 million or something. Oh, it's going to get better. Everything's going to get better. Of course it will.
You've got a friend in me.
He's not out for himself at all.
He's got common sense. I've got mud on my boots, just like the common people. That's the best. All you need forever is that clip. And he's got tons of them.
I've got a couple later I can show you. Some real bangers.
Some, you know, things that when you say them can never be unsaid and are so damaging to your character and reputation that I can't in good conscience support that. And there's not one or two, or there's quite the catalog of, wow, he said that.
Between, you know, singing cringe songs in Chinese or dressing up as an Indian or
I'm just a simple guy from the prairie.
I saw somebody saying that because of one of my tweets. Another guy's podcast who's not far. I think he's local, actually. I think I'm going to break into his house. I told him that. I threatened him. I'm going to break into your fucking house while you're podcasting. I'm going to hijack it at gunpoint while he's live. And he's like, or we could just do it normally. And I was like, fine, we can do that maybe. But yeah, they were talking about, I mentioned that in a tweet somewhere. He's like, oh, he calls him a simple goy. It's a derogatory term. Yeah, that's what he called himself numerous times.
to elicit favor and clapping and chuckling from his Jewish donors. Okay, that's the future prime minister prostrating himself on the ground, worshiping what? Oh, look, a foreign people again. He's so much different, right? And I'm not Trudeau is horrible. Okay, they're all horrible. It's mind-boggling to me that people still are confused by this. I have never really wavered from this. There was a brief moment in time where I was like, maybe the purple people might be okay. The purple people are not okay. They're even worse. They're all terrible. They're all terrible. The enemy is not one team or another. I mean, it's a pretty big label. It's a pretty big name. It's not just one guy, you know, or girl. There's a lot of enemies. As we'd say in the military, right? The enemy. It's just a general over-encompassing term of whoever you're fighting against. They. It's like the them, the they, right? Who's they? Who's them? In the army, we'd call it the enemy. And it's like, we're all conspiracy theorists in the army, too. The enemy's out there. Oh, okay. Who is the enemy? You know, the enemy. You want to have some psychos in your platoon. It's good, right? Trust me. You just got to keep them pointed in the right direction. That's all you got to do. And be very careful not to fuck with that. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. And they can never come home, obviously. They just have to do repeat rotate. They kind of have to stay there. And then if the war ends, you got to cycle them into like contracting with the CIA or because like they only can do this now. And you cannot put them back in the civilian population. But, you know, that's why they're the champions. You lock them up in cages and you keep them cryogenically frozen and you bring them out for when it's time to find the enemy. And they just go on rampages. Whatever you want, Donnie. Oh, man. But, they want to, you know, you can't criticize one without people automatically assume you're in the other camp. It's such a childish way of thinking. We have such a childish society. We have such an immature society. Everybody's basically a 14-year-old boy, which, I mean, I'm going to hopefully mention this later. The reasons why that is pain. We don't allow anyone to be in pain, not really. In what I mean by that is uncomfortable situations, doing anything difficult, uncomfortable. We've grown up, at least since I was a kid, maybe people a little older than me can pinpoint exactly when this took place. I think it was during my childhood, though. That was around the time they started doing the participation trophies in baseball. And at that time, there were some of the dads who were like, wait a minute. If we start teaching all these kids that all you have to do is just exist and you all get a trophy, what is that teaching them? And at the time, everyone laughed and said, oh, you're being extreme. That's crazy. Let the children be happy. That's an extremist dad right there. Well, that dad was looking out for those kids. Because under his system, those kids would be healthier and more well-adjusted than the ones we have today. So instead, we choose to not make people uncomfortable. And it doesn't just stop there. Obviously, this is the beginning. Now we have safe spaces and pronouns. Everything, everyone's a special snowflake and everyone must be celebrated as some kind of hero. Unless you're a white person, obviously, then you're the devil. Or if you're a white person that cuts off your genitals and neutralizes your reproductive capacity, then you're a hero. Coincidentally, that's fine. Or if you're off in some war that has nothing to do with us, smashing the enemies of our overlords, then you're a hero. But the minute you stick up for your own kind, oh, well, now you're a terrorist. Funny how that works. Everybody has to be coddled. So we've created a society where pain and discomfort is automatically equated to bad. That being in pain is always bad. Being uncomfortable is always bad. Being stressed, being anxious, it's all bad. But what if you changed the way you thought about these things? Because they're not bad. Are they pleasant? No. Do we like it? No. Do we look forward to it and do we hope for more? Most of us, not. David Goggins does, but most of us don't. But when we find ourselves in those situations, the correct move is not to run away and hide and ban, suppress, censor, create laws. We need to wear more helmets and triple the seatbelts or whatever needs to happen to make the thing go away. Rather than pushing through and fighting through it and suffering it and sustaining and you know, dragging your soul through this test, you hide from it. So we have an entire society and world of basically 13 and 14-year-old boys and girls who have never needed to mature beyond that state. They've never had to do anything really difficult. They've never had to be put in any situation. Everything is banned and censored and no good and too violent, and we can't say that, and you can't go. You see what I mean? And it's just been getting worse. And the next generation, they will be 9 years old, 10 years old. The kids are in school wearing costumes. And I don't mean 7-year-olds and 6-year-olds. I mean like 16-year-olds are wearing costumes at school. And not because it's costume day, and not because there's some kind of – I mean just because – just a random Tuesday. He's Batman today. Not ironic, not funny, just like they think it's really – like that's disturbing. The progressive infantilization is going to kill us all because I think that's what's – just because you can grow to be 40, 50 years old doesn't make you a man. I see guys in the mall, they're collecting toys. They're buying these Funko Pops. They're, you know, buying Avengers posters for their own bedroom, not for a child, for theirs. I can tell because they're fat and they have a neck beard and they're wearing a t-shirt that has Super Mario on it. They never made it past 14. They never had to. Mommy took care of everything. They lived at mom's house. They were cooked and their cooking was done for them. Their cleaning was done for them. They never really had to work a real job. If they did have a job, it was an easy, or they work at Tim Hortons sometimes, maybe. You know, you did some, until you, oh, I don't like this job anymore. I don't like it. Oh, you don't have to do that, honey. And then they just go back to being home and smoking weed and playing video games. Now they're 30. Now they're 40. Now they're 50. No, you're 14. You always hide from anything that's uncomfortable or difficult. You just hid from it. That's how you grow up. That's how you become a man. You find difficult things, or you're confronted with difficult things, and instead of looking for excuses and finding other people to push in the way or finding a place to hide, you just bite down on it and just put your head down and just start marching right through it. And it sucks. And on the other side of it, you're stronger for it. Because is physical discomfort always bad? Is going to the gym bad for you? Is taking care of your body physically, is that bad? Because it's uncomfortable and it hurts and it sucks. But you get stronger for it. So suffer or suffer. Remember that meme? You can hide from all of the uncomfortable stuff. You can hide from all the difficult things. You can do all of that because you don't want to suffer. It's too hard. I don't want it. I don't know. No, not me. Not for me. I'm a special little boy. I'm like a little egg. I'm so delicate. My great grandfather's generations, 14-year-olds were signing up for World War I and World War II, flying like 200, missions over Italy and North Africa. Until it's discovered, hey, are you 16 years old? And they're like, yeah. And then they send them home. Now we're, you know, I don't think anybody can really argue that the men especially are not being infantilized. And I pick on them the most because I am one. The women are obviously not perfect either. But if you believe, as I do, that the men are supposed to be the leaders, they're supposed to be. It's like two sides of a coin. You have the men and the women. They have to fit together like this. Equal opposites. But part of the men's responsibility, their share of that shared load, is the leadership. And they've been removed. And now society is falling apart. So doesn't that mean that it should be incumbent upon the men to fucking fix themselves? Because if you don't believe that, then, oh, you're not strong. Actually, the women all lead the society, and we have to wait for them to fix everything. It's their responsibility because it's not up to us. We're just poor, defenseless, like... I wish someone would do something. Won't somebody somewhere rescue me? I'm a damsel in distress.
Wow, impressive.
Oh, Daddy Trump! I hope Daddy Trump comes and saves me! Maple MAGA!
Mm-hmm. Who taught you that, your fucking grade 2 social studies teacher? We are fundamentally broken at the spiritual level, and it started when we were children. And it wasn't an accident. It was on purpose. You know it's true. You've been seeing it your whole life. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to this. You noticed something. What's the proper reaction to that? Once again, growing up like our children, if you're lucky enough, bright-eyed, massive imagination, whole world in front of them, totally trusting the adults because that's normal. Because we love our children and they should love it. Like, they should trust us because why would we lie to them? Why would we try to hurt them? That'd be insane. Only an evil son of a bitch would do something like that. Only an evil person would teach children something that hurts them. Long term. Which is most important. That's another thing we've lost. Not only do we not care. We can't. We got to hide from everything that's hard and be a damsel in distress and hope someone else comes and fixes it for us. It's not up to us. We're not responsible for anything. Oh, yeah, why is the whole city falling apart? Well, hey, boys, I don't know. Maybe we should put the beers down. Who's supposed to deal with it? Don't you feel responsible? None of these women that are involved, they shouldn't have to even be there. They should be well insulated and protected from any of this crazy shit. We allowed this to happen. This is our fault. What did Nietzsche say? It's natural to hate when you're being abused. Isn't that what happens in situations where someone is like a semi-captive psychologically? They've got Stockholm syndrome, whatever. They're being abused regularly. They're coping. They're making excuses. They're trying to, you know, make it make sense and rearrange puzzle pieces in their head to why it isn't what it sounds like. And all your friends are crazy. They're just extremists. They're just trying to ruin your life. Don't listen to them. They don't care about you. Only I care about you. You know? And deep down, there's just this building resentment and this anger, and it's something. That's nature. That's its response to you being abused. Because if you stay in this situation, if you linger here, you're not going to make it. Every living thing wants to make it. So that your natural reaction is summoning the pieces, the building blocks, to deal with what's in front of you. Abuse, malice, hatred, maybe? The correct feeling that comes up is not one of chocolate cakes and high fives and candy canes and lollipops. That's not what gets you out of that situation, is it? Takes a strong emotional, spiritual push. Some people can never find it. Other people, it takes them years to build it. So, as you know, as upsetting as it is, all these adults, all these people, they see, you know, we want to save the children. Save the children, right? But they were also the children once. And they seem to be under the delusion that the grooming and the training And the programming, this is all new. This just started recently. But it hasn't. It's not new. And what about you? What about that childlike version of you? That teenage version of you? If you saw them now, how would you feel? Would you feel sad? Would you want to help them? Just any old kid. Maybe not even you, just anybody. And we can see, oh, we'll just avoid all short-term pain. Avoid it. It's bad. This creates a debt. And the long-term pain is far worse. It's much worse. So it's like suffer or suffer. It's going to be hard no matter what you do. But one version doesn't destroy your civilization. The other one does. And there are people that are encouraging you to choose that option every day. Subtly, overtly, covertly. If it feels like maybe you've been psychologically like kind of screwed with your whole life. A lot of gaslighting, a lot of lying, a lot of trickery, a lot of deception, a lot of this kind of stuff. It's because you have. That has happened. What's the long-term consequences of that? It's natural to hate when you're being abused. Because if you don't love something, you can't hate something. You love your family, your friends, your home, the memories you've had. How are you supposed to feel about people that threaten to destroy all those things? Tolerant? Tolerance? Understanding? Here's what I'm betting on. Because I think I might know people better than they do. Definitely our people. Definitely where I came from. And I came from Canada, like the real Canada. And there's a certain kind of person that fits in there. There used to be a lot more of us than there are now. And I'm betting that they love the things that they love, their family, their friends. That's still in there. They still remember that. How it used to be, what we used to have, what our potential was, what's been taken from us. It's in there. And that's exactly what builds up to the reaction, to the defense, to the urge, to the instinct to react, to do something. You notice how I'm not trying to save the people in Papua New Guinea. Because I don't care. I have no connection to that place whatsoever. And if I was going around trying to help every person in the world, it could be. Who's to say who's more worthy one over the other? I'll start with the people I know, the people that have been a part of my life, the people I care about, the people I love. That's who I'm going to start with, first of all. And we'll see how far we get with that. It's because I love those things. That's why I'm angry. That's why everybody's angry.
You're full of hate.
Well, the thing is, when you kind of scoop that off the top, it's like a lemon meringue pie. You know, the hate's on the top, fluffy and light. Easy come, easy go. But the real thing, the pie, is underneath. That's what it's made out of. and is selfish and is stupid and arrogant and lazy and is choosing the easy path everybody can be, we are still made of our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers. That seed is still deep inside our souls of who we are and what's important. And I'm betting that the love of those things, that unbroken spirit thousands of years, or you wouldn't be here. When it gets painful enough and there's nowhere left to turn, there's nowhere left to hide, there's nowhere to go, every direction in 360 degrees, whichever step they take, it's going to suck. There is nowhere comfortable left for them to hide. I think a sizable amount of them, by that point, that nice little pie of the things that they love that has been cooking and brewing and baking inside of them this whole time, at the end of the rope, it will produce a very tasty, delectable glaze of a savage hatred for the people trying to destroy them. It's just a theory. But I like it. It's one that I like. And I see it, like, percolating. It's like, I'm pretty sure there's wheat growing here. And I'm like, oh, look, shoots and sprouts.
Philip the Horseman rides.
Contractor, sir, he says, avoid the chemical Jew fog if it makes its way to Canada. What are you talking about? If I start spewing Prozog messages, it got me. I'll need to be put down. Is there a fog? Is there a chemical fog? Is this like The Mist? Stephen King's The Mist? Except when you breathe it in, all of a sudden you're like, Ben Shapiro has some really good ideas. I'm just saying, I really like what Ben Shapiro's putting down lately. You know who's really blowing my mind is fucking Tim Pool. That beanie sure does know stuff. They got him. Derek, put this. They got him. Just outside, back of the head, just where I showed you. Yeah. I think more than anything else, too, especially young men, they crave adventure. They crave action. They crave meaning. They need to do something that isn't pointless, stupid nonsense. There's a great portion of society of men that have that. And there's where do they find that? What is there for? I had to join the military. It just worked out for me. But there's not a lot of jobs, especially anymore. So they can sell them the stay home, stay safe, don't be mean, bro. Politics, bro. Just you, yeah. That's okay. That's on the table. And more every day, on and on, grows the contingent of, what about the battle for the soul of the future of your people, though? What about that? What about either we all make it or we all die? Like, I mean, high stakes, Lord of the Rings level, like this real life, not a video game. And it involves you. You're directly implicated in this. Your family is going to be affected. Like, it's coming to your town if it isn't there already. And it's going to get a lot worse. How long can you stay inside and play Zelda? How long is that going to be interesting to you? To a lot of these, you know, well, they're pussies. They will. They'll do everything to hide. But not everybody. I they're out there, man. I've had conversations with people like this recently. This guy was not old. Not super young. Younger than me. But just still had this, like, it goes, once you've done something really, like, I was like that. Then I went to a war, and then I was like, I now have a healthy respect for serious situations and violence and death and so on. Before, we're like, woo, let's go! Yeah! It's looking 6 months later. Whoa, that was... How was that? Oh, it was... Yes. Well, let's talk about other things. A lot of young guys still have that because they haven't gotten that out of their system. They haven't been able to... You know? I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly! And there's nothing... There's nothing for them to do. They're not like, they're basically, what are you going to do for a job? What are you allowed to do anymore? Where you're going to be, where are they going to go? Where are these guys going to land? What are they going to be doing with their time? Is that what the vaccines were for? We just got to, is that what it is? We're just going to take everybody out that way or because the Indians aren't vaccinated. Isn't that convenient? How most of the Canadian economy now is India, and none of them are vaccinated. Remember how you had to, or you'd lose your job forever? Or you'd have your life ruined, and you're going to be slogged? Yeah, no, the Indians didn't have to. They can just sit on the counter at Tim Hortons with no feet, no shoes or socks on their feet, and just, you know, spitting the food and giving people hepatitis, and they're not vaccinated either. So 10 minutes ago, everybody was so scared of germs that they wore masks in swimming pools. But now some of the dirtiest human beings from the poorest regions of planet Earth are making your food with no shoes, you know, and spinning your, and that's fine. That's beautiful. It's diverse. No one respects you. This is why you're losing. Everyone in those camps, like, I have supreme confidence at this point. Like, I am dead certain at this point. I am not in a rush. I'm not, I mean, all the cards are on the table now. There's nowhere for these people to go. These mainline mainstays of the narrative, talking points, the big government supporters, the Conservative Party influencers, everybody. They're all wrong. They've all got it wrong. Who was right? The extreme people. They're reacting this way because they noticed what was happening, and it demands an extreme reaction. It's an extreme thing that's happening. We're under attack, and that's the correct response. And more people are realizing that every day. And the thing about being angry is it defeats fear sometimes. If you're mad enough, if you're fired up enough, anger is more useful than despair. That was the only good point of Terminator 3. That was the only good line for the rest of the movie. That should have been the whole movie, was that one line. Anyway, it's true. They want you to be depressed and sad and ready to croak and give up. Oh, you want to commit suicide? They'll send you pamphlets in the mail. I was talking to somebody else over Christmas. One of their friends got that in the mail. Hey, have you considered killing yourself? Like a flyer, like an advertisement. Hey, you should die maybe. And why am I the bad guy? Because I'm encouraging you to do the opposite. To stay alive and fight them instead. Fight the people. I mean, what a crazy idea. Fight the people that are trying to kill you. Huh. Fight the people that are trying to make it so you don't exist anymore. And your family has no chance at a future whatsoever. Huh. Imagine what would happen if people started doing that. Imagine. You could choose between being depressed or being angry as fuck.
Imagine it.
This is our new theme song. This is high white people intimidation. Nobody else can produce shit like this. Imagine, because at first you kind of laugh. You're like, that's really, like, that's silly. I mean, wouldn't you use, like, Slipknot? Or, no, just listen. The precision, the skill, the accuracy, the multiple instruments. This is like NASCAR. Not a single mistake. Do you hear a single mistake?
These are serious fucking people. And marching to this music is their armies of men who look quite serious. Are you still laughing? Dude, the bad guys always have the best aesthetics. They're always the coolest. Everybody wants to be on their team. It's because they've been hiding the truth from you. Join us. Join, Philip! Now we have, now we have people that are like, look at my ass! Look at my ass! Oh, a Grammy Award. You're like, ugh. You know, we used to build, like, massive cathedrals, and our cities were works of art on their own. People still, to this day, travel to old European cities to just look at them and go, holy shit! That's what we used to do. Now we're like, look at my ass! Oh, I'm super gay. I'm so gay. I'm all the gay. I'm 15 genders gay. Oh, the turkeys really like it, Jim. Good job, Canada. The turkeys of Canada love the nonsense. Weren't we? Didn't we almost have a space program? Yeah, but then the Trudeau family came along and was like, it's time to be gay. So we started, a lot of butt stuff happened and it didn't stop. It's still going on to this day, you know. I'm just saying, he's got two gay dads. You can lie to yourself and say, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Do you want to grow up with two gay dads and not have your mom? Do you think that's better or the same? It's not, is it? It's obviously not how it's supposed to work. So, I don't know. Maybe it's bad for you. Maybe it makes you into a little dork that can't see, that marries foreign criminals and becomes a professional grifter as a politician. Maybe that's what having two gay dads does. I don't know what it does. I'm just saying it I don't think it does nothing. I feel like it would have affected me. It gives, like, the nightmare of walking in on your parents a whole new dimension of horrible, doesn't it? I mean, that just becomes, because the other way you could rationalize it and be like, well, I mean, for your parents, I mean, how'd you think you got here? You know, at least they still love each other. You know, you could do that when you're in therapy. But this. Zio Bubba says, are you troubled by strange loon noises in the middle of the night? Don't wait another minute. Call the professionals. Loon busters. We could do that commercial. I miss doing videos and silly shit like that, but tempo is so crazy these days. Well, speaking of which, we are doing, I think we're on track. February, the tour movie should be out. For those of you that didn't come out. Because fuck me, I guess. Hey, come to where I live for years and years. Come to my house. Oh, come to my house. Sir, you're in British Columbia. Come to my front door. You know. Fine. So I did.
Oh, I'm busy that day. I can't be. 3-hour drive.
Yes, I will be playing that song every day for the rest of 2025. Get used to it. It's just the perfect mixture of music and ominous intent. Like, it doesn't explicitly feel like people are coming to kill you, but it's like the people coming could kill you if they were upset enough by you. So you should just watch your mouth. You know, it makes everybody a little nervous, but it's like, hey, it keeps everybody on their best behavior though, doesn't it? Everybody has a nice time. Nobody gets out of hand. You know, everybody goes home safely. And you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to invite them again next time. Otherwise, everybody gets a little comfortable and it turns into, look, the noise is coming from Pierre's dad's bedroom again. And, you know, last time is just, it's hard to get people to come back to the parties after they hear, you know. And they're like, I swear that doesn't keep happening. And they're like, once was too many, you know. And you're like, It's hard to make friends. Do you think he had a lot of sleepovers as a kid? Like, do you think when Pierre was in high school or like junior high school, like when's sleepover age? Like 10 to 12, right? It kind of like, that's kind of when kids start doing that. You think a lot of them went over his house? Because he's like almost 50, right? So this is like, this is what, the 1980s, 90s? How old is he? Almost 40. He's probably about 10, 12 years older than me. So yeah, this is like the 80s. So the early 1980s.
Dad, can I go over to Pierre's house?
Yeah, go ahead, fucking quit. I was there. I remember. I was, you know, there's home videos. I remember that. I barely, tiny fragments of the 80s, the early 90s, though. And those were the same guys, just a little bit older and not much. I mean, I can imagine. I'm just saying, I don't think it has no effect. And this guy's going to be running the nation. So I'm just, keep that in mind. Every time you're like, why did he do that? Remember. Right? Imagine you grew up with that. I don't know. I'll leave that for the psychoanalysts. I'll leave that for Jordan Peterson. Well, it's like, I can't. I gotta move on. I can't do it anymore. I'm disgusted at myself. You don't need to make the puke emojis. I know. I'm well aware. You should see what they're saying in the entropy chat. Way worse things. Words I don't even want to. Like, why are people talking about fissures? You know what I mean? Like, we don't need to go beyond that. Let's just. Two gay dads. Snez Hana says, Happy New Year. What do you anticipate for 2025 after Trump is inaugurated? Chaos or some stability?
They're trying to blow me up with a Cybertruck. They used a Elon Cybertruck and they tried to blow me up. They're trying to shoot me and blow me up. Next, they'll be using poisonous, venomous snakes. They're putting snakes in my bed, Joe. Did you know about this? I came home, I came to the White House, and I tried to go to bed, and it was filled with poisonous snakes. I shot them with a .44 Magnum. And I soiled my adult diaper.
I think Trump is in on it. I think he's in on the joke against us. However, I also think he is a chip that is now expendable. He's now officially outlived his usefulness. And the ultimate goal of these people is, well, right now, their next immediate, what they really, really want. Tell me what I want, what I really, really want. They really want to bomb Iran. They really want, I've murdered this. They want to destroy the Iranians. I just went just to see, like, what's on CBC right now anyway? Iran bad. Okay, so the whole front page is Iran bad. Got it. Thank you, CBC. You're certainly reliable. Uh-huh. Now,
well, I never fall for that, dude. Not this time. No way. No, I'm not. They can't trick me that easy.
My brother, you followed arrows around on the floor at the grocery store, didn't you? You had a mask on. You have an unknown chemical concoction floating around in your blood. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just saying you need to humble yourself a little bit and understand that people are fucking with you everywhere and you're telling yourself it's not happening. I'm trying to help you. And if by calling you an idiot retard is the only way to get your attention, then that's what I'll do. Because the alternative is to just let them murder you, right? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Is that what you want me to do? Okay, fine. Never mind. Go worship the orange man. Yeah, do that. Everything's fine. Everything's going to be amazing. Just go away. Good for you. You want them to get Iran, you know, people never bother. They just kill Trump. That's all you have to do. You kill Trump, and 6 to 8 hours into the news cycle, you tell them it was Iran. We have evidence it was Iran's Revolutionary Guard extremists. You've been seeing these stories. There are thousands of terrorists entering the country over the border. They keep talking about this. So there's a story already in place, so you could say where they came from. They already implicated Iran in the two attempts on Trump already, whatever that means. First of all, there's no way that's true, and why would Iran do something so fucking stupid?
It's like, hey, I want to put my head right in the Tyrannosaurus' mouth. Hey, take a selfie. Look at me.
Like, are you insane? No one would do this. Unless you wanted America to destroy Iran, then you would do that and blame them. Who does that sound like? Oh, yeah, Mossad. Oh, yeah. I had to think about it for a second. I wasn't sure. It's not like you've done it before. Over and over again.
Oh, no, something horrible. It was him. That guy did it. You better go kill him.
Yeah, we haven't been doing it for decades or anything.
Oh,
why would they change the game plan? It has worked every single time. Every single time. Every Berg Singlewitz Timovich, it worked. So if you really... That's what I'm worried about if I'm Trump.
I'm in on it, don't worry. I'm well protected. They love me.
You're an idiot. He's a mega ego narcissist. He puts his name on top of buildings in gold letters like he's Scrooge McDuck. Okay? He's president because of his ego, the vanity. He wants to be a big deal. Like, this is what he's in it for. He's not actually... I don't think he's really calling the shots at any serious level. I think he knows that. And... I think he's so full of himself that he doesn't realize that he's right there in the chopping block, and all they have to do is smoke him, point to Tehran, and you got it. Bye-bye, Iran.
People will never fall for that.
Yeah, they will. Yes, they will. They wore masks in the swimming pool, okay? You scare them enough, they'll do it. And with Trump and his popularity, right when he takes office, too, like within the first days is when they probably do it. Because that's the height of every... He hasn't had time, and he's already making huge mistakes, and tons of people are turning on him already. But he hasn't had time to really... People feel like the best is yet to come from him. So if he walks into office, or the day of, or something, and blam, he's gone, and it was Iran. How mad are these people going to be? How emotional are they going to be? And what happens when you're emotional, class? You don't fucking think. You don't think. You just react, and you're going to react by supporting war with Iran, which is the final act of also coincidentally destroying the United States of America. If it even has a military left... It's pretty much all of our armies are in shambles. They're held together by, like, you know, tape and elastic bands and wishes and hopes. It's strained big time. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that's on the bingo card. I think Greg Wycliffe has made a Diagonal bingo card, and that's on there to see him get smoked or smashed or flabbity blasted or cyber-trucked or whatever's going to happen. And... Elon, on the other hand, no, Elon is instrumental. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be around for a little while. He might be the next president. If they can swing that. Or an Indian guy. The next president after Trump is going to be Elon Musk or an Indian guy. Bungalunga dinga dunga bungalunga dinga. They're going to carve the monkey statue right next to George Washington in Mount Rushmore. Actually, they're going to change George Washington into the monkey statue. Bungalunga dinga dinga. Okay? Get used to it.
We love our Indians. We need our Indians. We need more Indians than ever. Trump's not like that. He's different, bro. He's not a politician. He's not one of them.
No, he's so amazing. He just somehow did it all by himself. Didn't fall up on anything.
I saved Hillary from jail, Joe. I actually saved Hillary.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I would do if I was in... I had my, you know, one of my worst enemies in the crosshairs. What I would do is save them and not immediately waste them and pass up the opportunity to take the queen off the board. Like, you know, Nah, let her live so she can kill me another day. That makes perfect sense. Of course. Well, anyway, here's Trump through the years, 16, 20, and 24. You know what? He's such an honest guy. I'm sure it's a very consistent message.
Nobody knows the system better than me. I know the H-1B. I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me. I know the H-1B very well, and it's something that I frankly use, and I shouldn't be allowed to use. We shouldn't have it. Very, very bad for workers.
As we speak, we're finalizing H-1B.
First of all, just a second. He admitted to, like, yeah, it should basically be illegal. We shouldn't even be doing it. I mean, I'm doing it. So you have so he has no problem engaging in totally immoral anti-American behavior if it benefits him personally, just on the record. I just want to make sure that you guys heard that.
Regulation so that no American worker is replaced ever again. H-1B should be used for top, highly paid talent to create American jobs, not as an expensive labor program to destroy American jobs.
I can change your mind on H-1B.
I didn't change my mind. I've always felt we have to have the most competent people in our country. We need competent people. We need smart people coming into our country. We need a lot of people coming in. We're going to have jobs like we've never had before.
But sir, you said you changed
your mind. Yes, he said it. He said the line. Yeah. We're going to have people coming in. We're going to have a lot of people coming in. We're going to have... Oh, India. India. Yay. Joy, America. You're going to love it. You're going to fucking love it! Get used to hearing this and seeing shit everywhere and all of your women just being permanently on edge and cranky. I know, I want to kill myself when I do it too, but I got to stay sharp. Like I said, you got to go into the pain and you got to, you know, it's like, you got to stay hard, you know? Good luck, America. I just emptied the wrong thing. Down here. I didn't want that video? I don't know. All right, let's read some chats and get back to, I've just been rambling for an hour. That's what this is though, right? I mean. Just gotta talk about anything. No, I'm kind of a crazy. I'm just an insane person. All right. Paper Trader says HST is offline for a couple months. I might as well give it to you. It's 13% of my last restaurant outing. Interesting. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Camby says sent Ghost Hornet Bee's prototype to your Telegram. Okay. Also, the ghost fog. Why is there ghost fog? What the fuck? Yeah, this is disturbing. Hang on. We do have an image of the prototype. Did it have to be this? Like, did it have to be this? I said we didn't want to resort to this kind of shit. I mean, terrifying nightwear weapons. Like, we were better than that, right? I thought we were, Camby. I thought we were better than that. And I, you know, I'm like, I'll fund your project. I'll give you the money. You know, we'll do it. And I specifically said, no nightmare weapons. Nothing that's going to make me, like, fear for my soul's integrity. You know what I mean? I can't have brought something into the world that makes me question that. And you're telling me this is what I've paid for? This is what we've invented now. This is going to be flying around. This is going to be hunting children at night. Are you happy with what you've done? Really, really ask yourself if this is what, this is who you wanted to be when you grew up. Someone that did. Are those teeth? What is that? It's like got insane clown makeup on. Is it wearing clown makeup? Get the fuck off my screen. I'm assuming they can materialize and, you know. Murder hornet bees are bad enough. Never mind ones that can, like supernatural ones. That's disturbing.
Also, the ghost fog gave my whole family pneumonia. Interesting. A lot of people have pneumonia lately. Is anybody else seeing this? At least this one. It is our creation. Maybe it will favor us. Maybe it will see us as its God and not harm us. Maybe it will exclusively prey upon the cheatery. We don't know. We'll have to deploy. Find a tester. Just release them in Brampton. There'll be minimal friendly casualties in Brampton. See what happens. If they get out of control, if it becomes like Dawn of the Dead, we go, you know what? It was worth a shot. You know, I guess we ruined. The world was going down the tubes anyway. Brian says, great to see you back. European architecture and culture is unsurpassable. Well, I mean, to us at least. The Japanese and the Asians have some cool stuff, but I mean, it appeals to us because it's ours, right? It's like, yeah, that's what I like. Oh, yeah, that's why your family built it. They're, you know, we're similar with the same DNA. Like generations can go by, you know, if you have to talk to Canadian men. Hockey players, you know, like the Stahl brothers. There's family dynasties of hockey players. Their dad was a hockey player, and this kid are now grandkids. How old are the odds out? Because the genetic. If his dad was good enough to play in the NHL, odds are his kid might be. So, you know, if we thought that was cool when we made it then, we'd probably still think it's cool now, right? It's because, you know, it was ours. And you could admire other people's stuff and go, that's cool, and I like it, but not better than mine. But it is quite, you know, it's impressive. Good for you. That's hate. You're not allowed to like your own stuff, apparently. It's hate. Tell Lytle, all politicians are expendable. They are. They're obsolete. We don't need them anymore. They don't do anything. They've got far too much attention. They have no effect on reality. They're just rubber. It's just a rubber stamp machine, right? The orders come down from above. They filter through parliament. They go bang, bang, boom, down to you, and we carry on. And they get rich doing it, and they talk a bunch of nonsense. Nothing ever changes. More of the same. Every government, every time, it doesn't matter. More and more and more of all the same stuff that we don't like, and it goes on and on. So why are they here? What do we need? What are they for? Why are we giving them any money, any attention, any of our attention? Why are we even listening to them? They have nothing for you. They have nothing for you. They are carnival barkers and you want to talk about grifters? Who's a bigger grifter than the Canadian politician who sits there and is making millions of dollars to do nothing? Complain professionally and not even effectively. Some of them sometimes go, make a speaker. And ho, 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 ho. That's it. Here, have $280,000. Plus benefits and bonuses and pensions and all these kinds of things. It's not a real job. It doesn't add anything to the community. It doesn't enrich anyone's life. This fucking podcast is literally more beneficial and influential. It's part of a culture. It's part of our... What are they contributing? Indians, mostly. They only take from us. They don't provide anything in return. They are the most overpriced employee in the country. They are worth $0. Zero. Nothing. Good day, sir. Paper Trader says our ambulance service has never been busier. Indeed, and there's not very many drivers anymore. Remember they fired a bunch of them because they wouldn't get medicine time? It's okay. Now there's Indians everywhere who never got it. Use that one next time, especially when you deal with these people calling us the woke right. All of those people saying that are vaccinated, pushed vaccines, and did what the government told them to do. All of them did. So the next time someone is like, you know, would you just leave it alone? You guys are so racist. Yeah, how many vaccines did you get?
What? How many vaccines do they have? Remember that thing you cared about so fucking much? A couple of years ago, you were willing to let us be threatened by the Prime Minister on national television. You just put your hands in your pockets and looked at the ground and kicked rocks and said, oh, just, I mean, what's the big deal? What are you doing? Yeah, wasn't that you? You were willing to let us, your own countrymen, your own brothers and kin, your blood, be trampled on and persecuted by these same politicians over this, which does not apply to the endless millions of Indians who are stealing quite a bit, by the way. It doesn't apply to them, actually. So now it's not important. It was important when we were being crushed underfoot by the state, but now it's not important because India, for some reason, sir, please, I'm certain you guys have nothing. It's over. You can either join us or you can shut up and go away and die because it's over. It's not going to be over tomorrow. It's like you've been fatally wounded is what I'm telling you. You are terminal. Your position has no future. It is dead. It is a dead end. You have no solutions. You have nothing to sell. You have nothing to give anyone but lies that they will be able to see through, that they are living in every single day. And you will take the side of the state and parrot their talking points and turn on your own followers and your own people and say, oh, they must be turning into extremists or something. You won't even be able to smell it when it's right at your feet. So, I mean, I'm not interested in what any of these people are saying. It doesn't matter. It's over for them. Half of Trump's lost half of his support already. Already. This happened over Christmas. Everybody flipped. Now, you know, fuck India is probably the most popular position in the world. It's almost been now universally accepted. Yeah, they're the worst. Everyone's getting in on it now. It's a whole thing now. And, you know, the conservatives are married to, oh, they're half of their leadership are Indians. They're filthy with Indian money. They're always dressing up in costumes. Good, good, good. That's going to be an easy sell. You know, as the crime and the murders and the stealing and the rapes and the frauds and all of that continues, there's just endless photos of you dressed up and kissing their feet. No, oh, I love it. Isn't that good? I mean, that's not good, right? Like long term, right? Remember I was talking about short term pain, long term. You can't think. Kenya, you can't look down the road and go, how is this? Nah. You just wanted the right now. You aren't. We need the votes. We need the cooks. We need the restaurants. We need. I've got mud on my shoes. Common people. Simple guy. Two gay dads. And they think they have a chance. Bro, give me a lie detector test. Hook me up right now if I'm lying. I'm positive. I got to look inside your tent. You're not going to last the winter. Who do you know? Oh, I have a pretty good idea. This is a dead end. Painted yourself right into it. Out of total fear and cowardice, always avoiding the difficult questions. You avoided the COVID stuff, the controversy. You didn't want to take sides on that. You didn't want to go, no, we don't want to. You didn't even really want to support the trucker convoy until, well, Pierre seemed like maybe he does. Right? Just do whatever daddy tells you to do. Right, you damsel. You damsel. Oh, save me, Pierre. Oh, we need to be saved. Oh, I'm so worried. Oh. Don't pee your panties. Daddy's coming soon. We're going to get the libs out. You're a man. I can't wait. This is going to be a fun year. This is going to be a fun year. They're twisting themselves up in knots. And regular people, people that are not affiliated with anyone, they're just people asking sincere questions. Like, wait, but you said, but doesn't this... And they're just getting more flustered and more... No, I should be... Yeah. Right? Smart people see this. And now, averagely, it tells you they're seeing it. It's a beautiful thing, you know? I hope you had a good ride. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope the grifting on get the libs out was the best time of your life, because it's all over. It's all downhill from here, baby, and it's gonna land hard. You know, this is like a roller coaster with the track out. We're gonna go. Wee! Are we in the air? Mm-hmm. Because you're not gaining momentum anymore, are you? I'm very sensitive. I feel things very strongly. Emotions, you know, vibes, if you will. And on the come up, you know, get the libs out. A lot of people were just behind, you know, the blue team. And it's like the closer you get to the top of that mountain, the slower you seem to be moving. Momentum seems to be bleeding off here because of all the compromises you're making against your own people. You're losing support. And by the time you get there, you're not going to have enough people to keep it. And then, you know, the momentum stalls, and then the engine stalls, and then, well, you know. I'll see you soon. Don't worry. I'm wrong. I'm a stupid bigot. I don't know anything. There's nothing to worry about. We're going to get the libs out, and you're going to continue with a wonderful career of the damn libs. Subscribe to my channel. And everyone's going to go, yay, life has never been better. Everything has gotten better. Everything is just as you said it would be. That's what's going to happen. Do you even believe that? Do any of you even believe that? Let's hook them up to a lie detector test, guys. I want to hook all you up. All you flag-waving mutim. Not just in Canada, the Trump people. My God! I want to hook you up. Do you even believe it? Deep down, do you really believe this is the way out? And they sit here and they listen to me too, just seething angrily while I fucking psychologically deconstruct them and poke holes in their self-confidence and ego everywhere. They're spinning out of control. I've destroyed several people's careers. They've lost their minds. I'm still waiting for Mubin to come back out of the dirt where he's been hiding. I'm gonna destroy you! Look how destroyed I am! Holy moly! I heard he thinks that, like, spirits and demons work for him. This is one of the, you know, expert anti-hate CSIS people that, oh, you're a serious bunch over there. You're definitely got your shit together. Yeah, he's using voodoo magic and stuff to get with. Bitch, please. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your little Matt, with him?
Try and overcome it. Many have. All have failed!
anything you can do. I'm not, no one's worried about your desert voodoo magic. Nobody's concerned. Just like that song, it soothes me, you know? Again, cool bad guy music. All right. I got to read some of these, and I don't know what I'm even talking about. As usual, right? This is what we're doing here, right? I don't remember anything I've said. I'm pretty much just on autopilot. They're trying to put me in jail for it. I mean, it's mostly just trash-talking politicians, their supporters, you know, the enemy. Part of the enemy element, right? And, you know, that was the metaphor I was using. It's not just them. It's not exclusively them. But they're the inside the walls enemy element. They're traitors, right? They're people that the enemy has been able to deputize as agents or delegates of its agenda against us and reward them handsomely for doing so with money, with favor, with attention. Like, oh, wow, I'm a politician. Good for me. Oh, yeah. Who gets to be like a big famous media? You know, it's people that are doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? Isn't it? You want to have a successful career, all you got to do is pick a team, preferably the one in power or the one about to be in power, and lick their butthole like you have never done it before. But do it in a way that makes them look good and it's not cringy. If you can do that, piece of cake. Piece of cake. Yeah, just sell out. Just be one of them. Imagine that the enemy system would reward you for supporting it. Isn't that crazy? Crazy stuff. The problem is they're not obviously the enemy to people that aren't paying attention. They don't know what's going on. So they're under the impression that they're on their team. So this is like, these are traitors. This is people that are, they'll stab you in the back when you're not looking. Or they'll, you know, sabotage the plane before it takes off and you think you're going, but it blows up midair. You know, they can do so much more damage than the enemy outside the walls trying to get in, because people can see that and they can, you know, try to, but not when it comes from within, when it comes from people you trust. Ooh, that can be devastating. You know, that can lead you to a situation where, you know, millions of people are, you know, shot full of God knows what. And some of them die, and some of them are paralyzed, and some of them are crippled, and all of this stuff. Because it wasn't some foreign government telling us to take that, was it? It was our people, allegedly. But they're not our people. They're traitors. And they got rich, and you got sick. Don't go looking for two gay dads to help. That's why, you know, they got to be stopped first. They're causing the most damage. They're doing the most bleeding, right? The internal elements of our own society that are working against us in exchange for favor, money, attention, all of this kind of stuff. Because that's what they value. If that's who you are spiritually, you're the enemy. You're spiritually the enemy. You value money and things and materialistic, you know, status. This is what you're after. Well, that's good, because you're not one of us anyway, and we don't want you around. Because you can't fight people like that if you're like that, because all they have to do is throw money at you and you'll join them. They just find out what you want and offer it to you, and you'll do whatever they want. Unless you're somebody that's willing to suffer and be punished for not doing what they want. But most people aren't willing to do that. Because they choose the easy way, the comfortable way. Because feeling uncomfortable or feeling just, that's bad, right? So it's all bad. There's never a situation where you can be uncomfortable or hurt or suffering where it's actually for your own good and it's going to work out in your favor in the end. It's good for you. And when you're going to look back on this and go, that made me who I am today. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be me now. And I like me now. I like me. I didn't used to. Not all the time. But generally. That wasn't cheap and it wasn't easy. I had to earn that. We just don't let people do that anymore. It's extreme. Just vote for the lesbian with half the head shaved, and you know, I was talking about Jews every 10 minutes, because that's what Canada's really concerned with, right, guys? This disconnect has happened between the people and the government, the TV people, because they think that's Canada. They're just an observer, and that those people on TV, the government, like, they're telling you what to do, and that's it. No, it's backwards, right? They're supposed to be working for us, and they don't. They're actually working for someone else entirely, and that's why every time you hear from them, you're the last people they ever talk about, if at all. Every day, it's another special day of the hooply-dooply community. Some other foreign holiday. Somebody else's doll. The great Ma King Mahabuli Muli Juli. Oh, yeah. Because we've got it so good. Everybody's doing so well. It only costs twice as much to live as it used to. You only have to work 2 to 3 times as hard to maintain the same standard of living we had just 15 years ago. But I didn't mean to interrupt. You were educating us about the great monkey man. Were we talking about that? Oh, great leader who works for me and is looking out for my children's future. I don't think you are. I think maybe it should be my fucking job to do that. I think that your authority to speak for me has been revoked. Everyone should have that opinion. No politician in this country is worthy of your respect, of your mercy, of your gratitude. Nothing, not a shred, not an ounce, not a crumb. They contribute nothing, they take everything, and then they stand at a pulpit and talk down to the rest of us. While they give themselves pay raises every year. What kind of business is it where you can vote to give yourself a fucking pay raise? I'm sorry, shouldn't we be asked? Shouldn't the public be, hey, Canada, can we have another pay raise? No, we'll decide amongst ourselves. And we're going to take the carbon tax, the climate agenda. The conservatives have been all over this. The Paris Accords, all of that. Oh, climate change is a threat to the... No, it... Shut the fuck up! You parasite! Nobody cares! We don't have enough food. Metaphorically. We're broke. When I was a kid... One parent working a full-time job was enough to maintain a pretty good middle-class living. There was a lot of stuff you could do full-time that you're never going to be rich, but if you're not a complete idiot with your money, you'll be able to afford a place to live and a car, and you can have a summer vacation. Like, you'll be fine. And you can have a wife and kids to boot. You'll be able to support that because you have a job. That's the social contract. And they forget. This is all I think about. How am I not supposed to be angry? And I just see their faces. And I'm like, I would love to see an AI representation of what it must look like for you to be struck in the face with a shovel, sir. Tell us more about how we have to be. Class of people that presided over the world where dad had a job and everything was cool too. Mom and dad need several jobs. No one's got it. We're paycheck to paycheck and we can't afford. In fact, maybe the kids have to start working. Oh, I guess we got to downsize the house. More Chinese investors have come in. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I a bigot, Pierre? I'm sorry. Am I odious? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, multimillionaire man. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were just like the common people. You got mud on your boot that time. Go on. Tell me about how it is. Tell me about Canada, man who's never experienced a fucking day of it in his life. Tell me what that is. Tell me. Tell me what a Canadian is. Define it for me. Draw the lines around the box. Because it has to be something, or else it's everybody on Earth. Is it everybody on Earth?
They don't have any answers. This act only works. This nincompoop midwit managerial political class, this only works if the society is stable. If people have a comfortable enough living, they'll tolerate it. Because, you know, things are relatively, I mean, you could complain, but you've got it pretty good, so whatever, you know. Only real diehard interested, you know, junkies in politics and people really give a shit. And they're mostly people that are just, they want power and influence and they're psychos anyways. It's just like, let them play their dumb games. Everything's kind of fine. But that's not what we have anymore. Everything's not fine. It's far from fine. People are dying everywhere all the time. They're being murdered. They're going missing. They're dropping dead suddenly. Did you have anything to do with that? Things are not fine. So when things are not fine, people tend to start, you know, going, well, what's being done? We got to do something about this. What's going on here? They start asking questions, right? They start doing things they didn't used to do, like putting pressure on you, the state. And you've reacted with ban, censor, cancel, attack your constituents, call people names, barricade yourself in a bunker, and call the military to beat them up. Right. That's right. That's you. Okay, so you don't have the parts. The ruling political class, you don't have what it takes to navigate the situation that you're inheriting. You don't have what it takes. You are going to be absolutely in way over your head. You're going to have no idea what to do. You're going to try to just heavy ham fist everything. Hail Mary, I hope this works. You have no idea. You don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know what a Canadian is. You don't know what they go through. You don't know what they live like. You don't know the cost of a dollar. And you think you're going to be able to manage them. You don't even know who they are. You're finished. I've seen the tumor, right? Enjoy the time you have left. The damn libs, it's not going to be a compelling story to someone with an empty belly living in a tent under a bridge. Or the family that has been forced to downsize to an apartment and somebody sleeps on the couch because there's not enough room. They had to sell their family home because it's too expensive to live there anymore. Nothing, I don't think, radicalizes somebody faster than taking them from a standard of living that they had experienced for some time. Had a decent job. They were following all the rules, right? They worked hard. They got them everything cool. And then, because of you people, that's no longer possible. Now they have to work twice as hard for half as much. And they should be grateful and vote for you to be even fucking richer. Why? Here's another little thing you don't see brewing in the background. But as also, it's like, dude, the T-1000 puddles are coming together. And I'm just going to tell you guys now and warn you now ahead. I don't know when this will happen. Probably not soon. But there are signs of it happening, that it could happen. There are elements of the far left that agree with us on a great many things. They don't know it yet. They don't realize it, that we're actually fighting a lot of the same things. Who are the billionaires anyway, really? I mean, what's really going on up there? Do they really need that much money? There is a moral question. There is a valid question there. How much money does any person need? When you are now, like, let's say you have $10 million, right? What can you do with that? You can help. You can do some. You can help people in your community, friends, family. Like, you can probably loan out a fair amount of, I mean, you could set stuff up. You have some weight to throw around, right? How about $100 million? Well, that's a lot more. You can help a whole town, a city, maybe. You could help pay, you know, help fund the fucking police department, maybe, if you had $100 million. How about $1 billion? How about $20 billion? How about $50 billion? What good could you do with that? Instead of it being done, It's on a pile of coins. It's a pile of coins under Elon's butt and under all these people's butt that they're hoarding and going, "Get all my coins! All my coins!" The claws dropping coins on their head. It, you know, what kind of person is that? Personally, I would feel, if I had 10, 20, $50 million, I'd start feeling really guilty for the other people in my life that I cared about, that I loved, and people around there. I would be just giving them things. I'd be like, "Here, you, I don't like seeing you struggle to pay for your house and be worried about that. That bothers me. I don't like that. Let me take that burden from you because I can. And I don't, it doesn't mean any, I won't even notice the money's gone. That's how much I have." Who's doing that these days? Not fucking, you know. Actually, I think he did give away some money, didn't he, Elon? But again, $1 million to him is like $10. And people are like, "Oh, wow." Like, what makes sacrifice and you know, giving something to someone else significant is that it's something that it will make a difference if you give it away, you know? It's not nothing. If I give a dollar to someone, I wouldn't even remember that. Like, that's not a charitable, wow, you're so generous. If I only have $10 in the world, I'm not giving one of them away. But if I have so many, I can't count them all. So if you have that much, it's like, well, what about 5%, 10% of this was like a good bite out of what I got? What can I do with that? If I got extra, right? So yeah, I don't like them either. I think you're a billionaire. You're probably a piece of shit. You probably are. And they can whine and cry and go, "Oh, that's not awful. Billionaires are people too." And I'm like, I don't know if they are though. I don't really know that they are. And a lot of people aren't going to sympathize with you. You know, no one, I don't think, ever said, "Oh, the poor billionaires," you know? And kind of, you know, the culture's catching up a little bit too. Remember this United Health CEO?
"There's an office and a building and a person and a chair, and you paid for it all, though you may be unaware. You paid for the paper, you paid for the phone, you paid for everything they need to deny it what you're owed. There ain't no you in United Health, there ain't no me in the company, there ain't no us in the private trust. There's hardly humans in humanity. Now the procedure that you're needing ain't the cost-effective route, and only 2% of people end up winning a dispute. So if you get sick, pray to God for health, 'cause your doctor's gotta pray to United Health. Way back in 77, Mr. Richard T. Burke started buying HMOs, putting federal grants to work, made 50 billion buckaroos. Last year, the Warren Buffett of health, the Jeff Bezos of fear. Now CEOs come and go, and one just went. The ingredients you got, bake the cake you get. But if you get sick, cross your fingers for luck, 'cause old Richard T. Burke ain't giving a fuck. Commoditized health, monopolized fraud. Here's the doctors we own and the research we bought. They own the pharmacies and a lot of the meds. They should start buying graves to sell us when we're all dead. There ain't no you in United Health, there ain't no me in the company, there ain't no us in the private trust. There's hardly humans in humanity. There's hardly humans in humanity. There's an..."
Pretty good. Rogan uploaded that. So this song slap at Wells Music, Welles Music. This guy, anyway, 1 million followers. Good for her. Good for him. War isn't murder. Interesting. This guy's probably a bit of a hippie, but you know, we got to stop this. "Oh, you're not perfect. You're not perfectly." If there's signs in there that they're a good human being and they get it, like there's parts of them that can see some things clearly, they're probably worth not throwing away. You know. Sorry to say, political class and billionaire lovers and fucking everybody fucking hates you. Everyone does. They're just pretending, you know. And what about, you see Kevin O'Leary over the break? Talking about, what was he doing? He's part of this now. Like, we should just join the United States.
What are you doing with your money, Kevin? Did you bail anybody out of jail? You help anybody's medical? But what are you doing? You could fund an entire political party to contend with the status quo. You have more than enough money to do that. Costs about $50 million to win an election in Canada federally. $50 million. How much money is that to Kevin O'Leary? He could get drunk and lose that and not even notice. Shut up. You don't care. You don't give a shit. What did I tweet at him? Your nationality is money. That's what you are, Kevin O'Leary. Why don't you go be with your people on the pile of giant coins? Because if you actually cared about this place, you would have proved it by now. There would be a long record. There'd be a long history of all the things you've done for the Canadian people, which is what Canada is. It's not the state. It's not the infrastructure. It's not the streets and the buildings. It's not the trees. It's not the nature. It's not the moose or the caribou or the fish or the grass or the bees themselves. I'm sorry, but it's not. It's the people. And you've kind of just been taking advantage of them your whole life to get rich. So, fuck you. No one is going to listen to you. You're not a serious person. You're just a greedy loser. Imagine having that much power and influence to do damn near anything, and you choose to just keep stacking coins, collecting coins, coin collecting. Like there's literally monsters roaming around out there eating people's children. And you're sitting there counting your money. You know, I hate you. Because I would love to stop these things, but I can't do anything about that. I don't have the means. You do, but you're collecting coins, you know? How many gay dads did you have, Kevin? How did we allow these people to speak for us? It's shameful. Here's a good thought experiment, because not everybody's a good person. Lots of us are terrible and shitty. Sometimes or all the time. But I bet, I was lucky and I got to know a few and grew up with a few, but I bet in everybody's life, there is at least one guy, maybe in your family, uncle, father, grandfather, somebody that you respect, that you look up to and is like, that guy kicked ass or kicks ass. Right? It was just your whole family, and you're like, that guy should be in charge in some kind of emergency situation, right? Like, this is who I'm doing. Probably everybody knows at least one of these. Maybe it's you. How many of those guys would follow Kevin O'Leary or PP or any of these politicians anywhere? How many of them would look at them, these people, this what we've got, and be impressed and be satisfied? Any of them? They're not worthy. If our best men don't respect them, they're not good enough. Period. You should earn the privilege to vote. It should be a gauntlet of something you have to prove, that you're worthy, that you care, that you're here for the right reasons. And you don't just wait. That is a cherished, you don't just throw that away. How many of them would give that to what is sitting down there now? And that's why everybody gets to vote now. It's not because it's more fair, it's actually less fair. It's incredibly unfair, because the small minority of people that really suffer and work for the country are at the mercy of the majority of morons who only take from it and look out for themselves. Getting everybody to vote was to fuck you over. And how hasn't that worked well? Most people are dumb. And everybody gets to vote now. Isn't that great? That's why they talk to you like you're a child on television.
They have to speak to the common person who is an imbecile. Basically a child, a 12 to 14-year-old child. So if you're, geez, why are the politicians, they're talking as if I'm back in junior high school the way they're talking to me. Yeah, that's correct. That's what they think of you. It's mind-boggling that anybody supports any of them. It's insane. It's hilarious to me. They're so unworthy of respect. It's incredible. All right. Swiss Daniel says, good to see you. Happy New Year. Hope you and your fam and Morgan are doing good. We are. Locked in a room with a wasp bee or Satan's butler? Listen, you can strike a bargain with Satan's butler, but the bees, they can get, listen, they're not always rational. Sometimes they'll sting you for no reason. They'll just want to. You know, Satan's butler wouldn't do that. He might do that, but he would have been planning to do it the whole time. And you didn't notice the red flags. That was on you. That's the way he operates. But as far as the bee, they're unpredictable. They're temperamental. They're like methed out, hungry women on their period. It's just, you know, just give them a fair day. That's what you just stay away. Just keep them, give them a distance. Safety bubble. Cause it's like nothing against you bees, but I don't know. Sometimes you just do crazy. Sometimes you go on suicide runs into Doug Ford's mouth. You see what I'm saying? There's a reputation there. That's why people are, you know, kind of standoffish. So which do I choose? I choose the spider. I think the Satan's butler. Well, you know, they're both very frightening. What kind of spider? Satan's butler. They are freaky, aren't they? Paper trader. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Talital says James Topp is a legend and most Canadians don't know about it. Right? Where was any of these people? Did any of them get behind him? Did any of them get behind any of these rich people, any of these billionaires, any of these politicians? Did anybody give them his undivided attention? Did any of them give him their undivided attention and support? Did anybody even try to? No, the answer is no. In fact, when he made it to Ottawa, almost no one bothered to show up to even hear what he had to say. And of the ones that did, they were conservatives and the majority of them left after the photo. Did you know that story? I think 10 or 12 of them showed up. 8 or 9 of them left immediately after taking the photo before he had said anything. That's what we're dealing with. And if you want to hang on to this hope and wish that there's like 6 people in there that aren't total pieces of shit. Well, they don't have a problem benefiting from this. And not opposing any of that. They're not speaking out. They're not doing. They're just being, just playing the game, being one of the guys, playing ball, being a team player, aren't they? So I don't know. Sorry, but no, you're a piece of shit. You're a politician by definition. You're either too stupid to get it, which means you shouldn't have that position. Or you just want to be one of them and you're a traitor and you shouldn't have that position. Either way you cut it, there is no room. And like, yeah, that video of that Ukrainian guy, man. Totally on his own. That was a long time when somebody mentioned it. I got distracted. Some gets in a one-on-one gunfight and then wrestling around in a knife fight on the ground. The helmet cam, the whole thing's there. It's on my Twitter if you want to go look at it, but it's pretty awful. And then eventually loses. It gets stabbed to death and just slowly bleeds out. I think the other guy just gets tired and drops a grenade by his head and blows him up last minute. He's like, no, don't do that. And then boom. He's like, just leave me. Let me to die. He's like, good job. You're the best. You beat me. You're the better man. Let me die in peace. The gut buddy's like, yeah, all right, cool, whatever. Like, starts walking away. Blows them up. Imagine that's how your life ends. Or your father's, or your son's, or your brother's. That's how it went down. And that was just one person. This is millions now, just on the Ukrainian side, over 1 million. These politicians can use the power and the effort, the influence that they have
to put more weight and gravity behind that so more of it happens, so more people experience that. And they're all cowards. None of them would ever go do that. They're not over there fighting in this war they believe in so much that we should send all of our money and treasure and effort into it. Maybe even our own soldiers. Maybe your kids. We don't know. We'll see how far they're willing to go. There's... It's a bottomless tank. There's no limit to how much you can hate these people. The damage they cause is generational. It's immense. COVID alone. Who's paying for that? Who's accountable for that? I didn't hear that on Kermit and Pierre's speech. I didn't watch it, but I'm sure that wasn't covered. It's all fake. None of them really give a shit. Imagine I ever get them in a room like this, live in front of the whole country. Evisceration. It'd be like the crucifixion. People would want to look away. It would be so bad. What kind of answers to these questions do you think they would have? I say, okay, Pierre, show me where Odessa is on this map that's not marked. It's just the geography. There's no lines. There's no names. It's just point to where it is. Show me where it is. Well, you want all of these people to go die. You believe in this so much. You must be so supportive and infatuated with the cause of the Ukrainian people that surely you can show me where one of their most famous and populous cities is. Must know where it is. I know where it is. Do you know where it is? Name me five Ukrainian people that aren't Zelensky or Oleksandr Usyk. Of any kind, just five, I don't know, famous politicians, actors, whatever. Just name them. Can you say one full sentence in Ukrainian? You see where I'm going with this? So you don't know anything about these people or what's going on, but everybody definitely needs to die, though? Like, that's got to happen? Yeah? You sure? I mean, you did get mud on your boots that time. I remember that. Like the common people. Slava Israel. I saw a photo today of a baby that looked to be about 3 to 5 months old, who had wounds all over its body from the Israeli soldiers throwing darts at it, like a dartboard. There's pictures of this. They upload this themselves. Does Pierre care? Let's see. What do you think about that? Future...
As you can imagine... It's a pretty big honor for a simple goy from the prairies to stand before you today.
Nice hat. Nice costume. I thought only Justin Trudeau played dress up. It's good that you're championing the cause of the worst genocide in history. Not in numbers, I consider it the worst one in history because everybody can see it. Everybody can see it if they want to. It's all there on the internet every day. Israelis are uploading it themselves, bragging and laughing in your face. This isn't like the old days where you had to search and or you'd have to travel there as a journalist and take photos and try to smuggle them out and hope nobody killed you to get back and report to the New York Times. That's all over. You can just open your goddamn phone and look at them throwing darts at a baby. But, I'm sorry you were saying...
So as you can imagine, it's a pretty big honor for a simple goy from the prairies to stand before you today.
Humiliating.
But what they needed is vaccines. Yeah. That was the one job he had at this point in the crisis. Now he tries to throw in a cape and says he's the hero that's going to solve the problem that he caused. Yeah. The reality is the rest of the world was being vaccinated in January and February. Vaccination rates in the U.S. and U.K. are twice what they are here in Canada. The rest of the world is reopening while we're being confined to our basements because of the wave of the variants that this prime minister allowed. Why did the rest of the world have...
He's allowing variants. That's somehow Trudeau's fault. If there ever was such a thing, it's somehow Trudeau's fault that this virus is mutating and evolving somehow. And if it were up to Pierre, everyone would have been vaccinated much sooner. Much more thoroughly. Maybe he would have forced you to at gunpoint. I don't know. It's going to be a short honeymoon, Pierre. It's going to be a short one. Prove to me you're gay without telling me you're gay. Paper Trader says, when Local Legion was looking for money, I told them about James Top and walked away. Nice. Crypto Maria says, giddy up for the rodeo. It's on. It is on. A Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, right? And people just clap like, yeah, I like how that sounds. Yay. That's what they're doing. They're reacting emotionally because that's what kids do. Kids just immediately emotionally react to things because they're not mature. Apparently that's what men do now too. A Canadian is a Canadian. Yay! I like how that makes me feel when I hear it. Yeah, I'm just gonna clap. Did you even? What does that mean? I don't care. I don't know. It means everybody, whatever. Like these are the people, right? This is their attitude. They're gonna be placed in the driver's seat and asked to navigate a very complex and dangerous situation, and they are not ready to leave. They couldn't navigate a fucking candy store. So like, how confident am I? Are they going to fail? Somewhere in the ballpark of 100%. Absolutely certain. I would bet my life on it. Stuff like that. Fitz Champ says, regarding lefties fighting the same thing as us, Mussolini began a socialist commie, then became a nationalist, remembered his people, then became a fascist. He's Zoomer historian for more details. Yeah, that guy was a crazy life. But like, just because somebody holds an idea doesn't mean it's wrong because they're on the, like, what if somebody is like, you know, a full blown communist and also like we should put pedophiles to death, right? Is that a bad idea? Like, well, let's wait a minute now. You could be really screwed up in the head, but still be on the right page on certain things, right? And if there's people over there, they're like, I think these rich assholes have way too much money and power, and they're just like, we're dying down here, and they're just laughing over there, having a great time at our expense. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Fuck them. Absolutely. Oh, we provide jobs. You provide an income for yourself. Let's be honest. If you wanted to provide jobs, you could use that massive fortune to just create basically labor sinks of give somebody something to do. Like, you won't make any money. In fact, you might even lose money. It'll operate at a loss every year. It's basically charity, but it gives them something to do. It gives their life meaning. It gives them something to get up and go work at every day, and it lets them provide for their families, and it lets them live a good standard of living. That's what you provided for them. Is that what you're doing, businessman? Is that what you're doing? Are you a patriot, Elon? Show me that. Let's see it. Let's see the blood you've spilled for America, Mr. South African. You're not even American. Imagine being an immigrant and then being like, okay, so like basically this is how the America will be. I'm just going to decide how it should go now. I mean, I just showed up here 10 minutes ago, but now listen, let me tell you how to fix this place. Even though I'm not from here, I'm not one of you, but. What's Elon Musk's nationality, you ask? Oh, it's money. Same as Kevin O'Leary. That's what their passport says. You open up their passport, it's just a big dollar sign. Might have some blood on it. Probably does, actually. If you're wondering what that weird brown staining is, that's old blood. That's how you get,
It's like impossible to get that wealthy without ruining people's lives. You have to. It's competition to get there. So you have to destroy other people on your way there. It's how it is. So, you know, good guy, right? It's going to be fine. He's going to put a chip in your brain. You're going to love it.
I just think I should put you on Neuralink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Put a chip in my brain, con artist man. Good idea. I don't think he's inventing or running shit. I think he's the front man. I think he's a character that they've put out there to sell ideas. I don't think he's running anything. When does he have the time? He's busy playing Diablo and tweeting and pretending to be Adrian Dittman. Right? Like, when you know, think about it, guys. How about this? All you moms out there, how busy are you with your kids? Right? How do you have less free time than Elon Musk? How is that possible? How is he able to do all this? Right? If you're like, oh, I've got several kids I have to look after. Right. He's managing tons of massive companies. Like, he should be cut. No, he's got tons of time to just sit on his ass, be huge and fat, and play video games somehow. Because he's totally not a fraud.
I am Adrian Dittman. I mean, I'm not Elon. Okay.
Okay. That's crazy, man. That's high level. That's mental illness. That's not good. That's not a good idea. That's not a good sign. You know. Brian says, if you were given 2 hours to speak to the 338 Parliament televised, it would wake up the country. I wouldn't make it through 2 hours. Within 5 minutes, they would physically attack me, and I would welcome it, and it would turn into a brawl. And what they don't know is that outside the doors is the rest of Daglon, and that was a trap. So I just hit the fire alarm, and that's the signal, and in comes thousands of people, and we just, you know, we could have did it the easy way, but no. You had to choose violence. Okay, if that is what you want.
All right, let's see, Entropy. I missed a lot of you guys. I didn't even look over here yet. Intrusive thought, I read you.
Jensen says, traveling around BC over the holidays, saw 4 semi-trailers in the ditch, loot everywhere, nobody cares. Probably had nothing to do with the new conservative constituency. Umbalanga dingalanga.
I'm as Canadian as you. Everybody knows it was Sikhism that built Canada.
There's another problem I have with this. When people say, oh no, it was diversity that did, it was that. That's our strength. That's why we are what we are now. It's because of diversity and the contributions of the Sikh community and all that. That's what makes Canada good. So what you're saying is, before they got here, this place was a shithole, right? The place my family had set up, that was garbage. And if it wasn't for the migrants, we wouldn't have anything we have today. It was because of them. Thank goodness. And we're getting more. We're doing better every day because there's more of them every day. And we're more diverse now than ever. And also at the same time, race doesn't matter and racism and all that stuff is not a thing. But we do need endless amounts of anybody that's not white, even though it doesn't matter. So we're just getting just people. So why are you picking the people with double digit IQs? Because there's lots of other people who have triple-digit IQs that we can... No, we need more but diverse. Why does it need to be more diverse? Because that just means less of a majority of white people. So less white people? I thought you said race doesn't matter. So why does this one have to be lowered to... Like, what are you talking about? Go back to Get the Libs Out and subscribe to my channel. You know, when the sharks and the raptors come to the doors, you're going to have all the answers. It'll be fine. No one will remember. And the internet's not forever either. It's not like the things you've said and done in public. It's not that anyone can go look them up and dig them up forever into eternity and throw it in your face that you're just a wishy-washy, you know, whatever flavor of the day happens to be kind of person. Nobody's going to see that. Nobody's going to notice that. Put on another costume. Hey, conservatives, put on another. Where's based Danielle Smith? I don't think anyone has ever said it like that. I just started saying it like that more and more often. That now it's like become a thing that someone has said, but no one ever did. I started tweeting it for some reason. I just can't stand her. She's a fat, dumb, entitled moron. And she, too, loves to party. Best Danielle Smith. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we need to be doing. That's a totally good use of your time. That is not. Yeah, that's good. Good. Good for you. Let's check in on. Let's just check in on some of this for a minute. Where? I mean, let's. We need the caucus and we need the restaurants. Right. So race doesn't matter. Right. So again, why these ones specifically, though? Why millions of these ones? And you couldn't even just go a little further. I mean, the Chinese, the Japanese are right there. At least they're like they use toilets. You know what I mean? Like the Japanese, the Asians use toilets. So like. That didn't, was that not factored into the consideration? And ideally, I mean, wouldn't you just go back to. Like if a certain pile of countries made this one, shouldn't that be where you draw the more people? Because. The compatibility, the continuity, like the least amount of disruption as possible. The stability of the home country, like that just, doesn't that make sense? No, it doesn't. You want this country. You want this one specifically. Okay, well, let's see what goes on in this country.
India is one of the most polluted countries in the world, but how polluted is it?
Oh boy.
The Ganges River, beautiful, sacred, and drowning in trash.
It's sacred.
Stretching over 1,500 miles, it pours 115,000 tons of plastic into the ocean yearly.
Yeah, it does.
Imagine a river so polluted.
Let's
it's
go.
A garbage highway to the Bay of Bengal. Now, moving to Delhi's trash.
Okay, model. So just to be clear, you remember how you guys, I've talked to you about Garbage Island that floats around? It's Dumpster Island. That's where we put our undesirables. But that's a real thing. It's floating around the Pacific Ocean. It is a giant. You can look this up. It's a giant pile of trash. Plastic bottles. Like just trash. It's huge. Ships have to know where it is to navigate around it so they don't hit it. It's this giant island of trash. Like the size of one of the islands of Hawaii or something. It gets huge. It's absolutely huge. And I just want to make sure everyone understands. India, look at the screen. India pooped it into the world. Garbage Island is India poop. That's where it came from. Where do you think 150,000 liters of garbage being dumped in the Ganges River, emptying out into the bay, into the ocean, with the currents, the way it goes into the Pacific from there? It came from India. Yay!
Plastic into the ocean yearly. Imagine a river.
They don't just poop on the streets. They poop trash islands out of the entire. If Indians are left unattended, they will create a nation of trash and poop that will poop trash into islands of itself. How long until the entire ocean is filled? Can someone do the math? What's the math on that one? Engineers and CEOs, 145,000 tons of garbage a year. How many years until it swallows the entire Pacific Ocean? I'm sure someone can figure it out. Hey, kids! Remember when the Pacific was a thing and it wasn't trash? Remember when it wasn't all Indian garbage? When there was oceans and fish and life and it wasn't just a sea of trash from India? Remember that? It's mind-blowing. I haven't watched this. It's only a minute long. I've made it 19 seconds before I had to stop and have a nervous breakdown.
So polluted, it's a garbage highway to the Bay of Bengal.
Of course it is.
Now, moving to Delhi's Trash Mahal.
No, I don't want to move to the Trash Mahal. What's a trash... Phil, what's a Trash Mahal? I know what the Taj Mahal is. I feel like it's going to be a pile of trash that is equal in size to the Taj Mahal. I don't want to press play. There's no way! Okay, India has no redeeming... Like, none. Almost nothing. Some of the only things, and if it's like gun to my head, I had to go to one place in India or I would go, I'd be like, I guess I'll look at the Taj Mahal because that's quite the structure that I don't think they built. I don't know who built that. It's interesting. Got weird history. So in other words, one of their most significant landmarks, it's like, you know, Egypt has the pyramids, India has the Taj Mahal. So... Are you telling me that right next to it, just a giant pile of trash?
Azipur landfill.
I'm fucking scared, boys. I don't know.
Bay of Bengal. Now, moving to Delhi's Trash Mahal, the Ghazipur landfill, standing nearly 236 feet tall, almost as high as the Taj Mahal, it's a towering heap of waste spreading over 70 acres.
I saw that Blair Cottrell had shared this video. And I was like, there's no way this isn't going to be funny. It's about India. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to save this. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Okay, let's go back to the graphics. Yeah, it's bigger than the Taj Mahal. Yeah. Yeah, almost. Almost. Trash Mountain is 4 feet shorter than the Taj Mahal. And it's right next to it. Let's just finish it.
As high as the Taj Mahal, it's a towering heap of waste spreading over 70 acres.
Oh.
It grows by 2,000 tons a day and sends out toxic gases, polluted water, and a stench that'll make you wish you were anywhere else. Over 600 million people in India don't have access to proper toilets.
They don't want them.
Have phones, but no toilets. Open defecation isn't just gross, it's deadly. 70% of urban sewage goes untreated, flowing into rivers like the Ganges and causing diseases like diarrhea. Approximately 300,000 people lose their lives to diarrhea in India each year.
I knew about that. Derek told me about that. 300,000 people in India poop themselves to death every year. That's how dirty it is. Well, we've got that out of the way. That's good. Let's check in on, where was this? Vaughan Mills? This is Boxing Day, if you're in Vaughan, Ontario. I mean, I know it looks like India, but it's actually not. It's actually Ontario. Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad the Trash Poop Mountain people are here. They're engineers, and they're skilled labor. They're so skilled that they labored their whole lives to rival the monument of the Taj Mahal with a monument of laziness, trash, stupidity, and ignorance. This is why I know the Indians didn't build the Taj Mahal. The Indians built Trash Mountain. They built Trash Mountain next to the Taj Mahal. I cannot, this is incredible. I need to sell t-shirts that say, I went to India and all I got was this t-shirt for Trash Mountain. Ask me about Trash Mountain. Ask me about garbage. Ask me about how India pooped an entire island of garbage into the sea and is now an environmental hazard for maritime and seafaring vessels. Ask me about that. Engineers and CEOs, India. Incredible India. Oh, and there's this guy. this guy's going to give advice. If there's one thing I love from Indians, it's advice on stuff. So he says, did you know 40% of Indians in Canada get financial help from India to buy their first home? Oh, so India's helping them subsidize their takeover. But you could avoid extra tax. Oh, you can avoid paying taxes to the Canadian people as you rob them. Let's hear about it.
40% of Indians in Canada get money from India to buy their first home. But here's the problem, because the Canadian government puts extra taxes.
The Canadian government.
I like how he's cute and trying to pretend like he's Canadian, and he's like, this is totally, I'm definitely not just an Indian guy stealing. Now let me teach other Indians how to steal more from the tax coffers of the Canadian taxpayer. I love it. Let's hear it.
On that money, but you can save those taxes. Ask your parents to gift you that money. Open the NRA account in India. Tell your parents to put money in that account, and then you transfer that money from NRA account in India to your Canadian account. That's it. Government will think that the money is already taxed, so you won't pay anything extra.
Dude, I warned you. I told you, fucking Jeets, I will start playing your videos. All you do is steal. It's a virtue. He uploaded that. He's telling people how to commit fraud. And he's like, ha-ha, I'm so smart and you're so stupid. That's the skilled labor we're bringing in. Just think. Think of where we'd be without all the DoorDash drivers. And real estate. Oh, yeah. And the homes they're building. I mean, we saw some videos of that last time, didn't we? Some real high level construction work, you know. And you know, it's like, well, yeah, we have all these empty jobs. We need the Indians because nobody has any jobs. You gotta get the job, really? Well, I don't know if that's true either.
I just had to pull over on the side of the highway and make this video because I can't bring what I just saw and experienced in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, back home. So here we are, it is the 20th of December, and the No Frills is a grocery store that came in about a year, maybe 2 years ago, and took over from Extra Foods. And Extra Foods had been a staple in the community, right? There's generational family lines that are here and people that have been there for a long time. They were wiped out when No Frills came in, okay? And the owners of No Frills are from East India, and they're new. And so here we are, just a couple of days before Christmas, and I walked in there, and I instantly got hit with this wall of sadness, loss, and grief. And I instantly looked around, and I seen three of the workers that I've known for years that managed to stay through all these transitions, bawling. So four people were fired at No Frills, and instantly replaced with temporary workers before their ass even hit the door on the way out. So, So, what Trudeau has done, and the reason why he left, is when he left, he sprayed gasoline all throughout this fucking country, metaphorically. And when he left, he lit a match and threw it over his fucking shoulder and got on a plane and took off. The temporary workers and the influx of too many people here, and then now they're going to take out generational family lines in Canada right before Christmas and replace them with workers? What the fuck are we doing here? We're still a community of people, right?
I am. Where is that coming from? Yeah. Off to a good start this year. Hang on. I'm going to pull it back out of the ether. I'll remember exactly what I said. It's a mag. It, you know. Like, it's not. Sorry, lady. It's not just the Liberals and Trudeau that's doing this. Every party in the government supports this. Everyone. They're all pro-India. They're all pro-immigration. The jobs, we need the workers. The jobs, the workers that they need are to replace you. We are under attack. You have one vacant job for every two unemployed. That's a catastrophe. That means half of the people that you have that are unemployed, there's not anything for them to do, and they're screwed. And your solution to that is bring in millions of more Indians every year and subsidize a government program to replace them with their own tax money. It's beautiful. You know, I mean, that's hate. That's real hate. That is a systemically installed fuck you at the federal level that gives that woman and everyone like her no chance. Where is she going to get another job? The dollar store, Tim Hortons, like another service level job like that. Well, guess what? All of those jobs are under the same programs, and they are all hiring temporary for temporary. They're not temporary. They're here forever. They're here to take. They're here to get stuff. They're not here to build Canada and help you. They're here to take from you. That's the whole point. Where's she going to go? Where are any of those people going to go? And how sad, like she targets Trudeau and the Liberals, right? And she probably looks at Pee-Pee and goes, oh, he's going to fix it. Totally unaware of how many Indians are in his party, that they speak Punjabi and Hindi in the House of Commons. That's not one of our languages, but they're allowed to do it because they're fucking Indians, I guess. They're allowed to blow up our airplanes, kill people, rape people, steal billions, infiltrate the country, commit fraud, and displace our workers from their livelihoods 4 days before Christmas. She said she was in Saskatchewan. Maybe she should go to Alberta and complain to base to Danielle Smith. Oh, wait, where was Danielle Smith when that was happening? Oh, right. Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot. So don't go there. Less than one job for every two job seekers. Aren't just hiring less, the job market shrunk. You know why that was? Remember, stay home, stay safe, close your business, non-essential. The politicians were essential! Pierre was essential! He had to be there! He had to be there! You heard him. Why aren't we getting vaccinated fast enough? You had to close your business or your employer had to shut its doors and they didn't make any money and they went under and you lost your job or you lost your business. Yeah, did the job market shrink? Yeah, a little bit. Little fucking bit, actually, it did. Yeah. Good job, though. Tell me more. I'm just getting started. Let me get my popcorn. Tell me some more doozies here, Pierre. Let's hear the resume. How good of a job you've done. Let's see the resume. Canada saved. Let's see it. Let's see it. Let's see the people that you've brought up out of the mud where you got on your shoes. Surely with your millions of dollars and influence, you've come across some people that could have used your help. Show them to me, please. Oh, great one, the leader of the people. You're going to be the leader of the whole country? Surely you must have some reputation for being a hell of a guy. I'm just curious as to where you're hiding all of these people.
Oh, did you eat an apple one time? Wow. Wow. You know, finally some positive messaging from a politician. Some healthy eating an apple. Wow. Is that the take we're supposed to have? As you replace everybody with Indians? What are you supposed to do? Get on welfare? Or are the Indians going to get that too? Because they've been here for 2 years. They're Canadian now. I'm as Canadian as you are.
I want to be a refugee. That is best job. Refugee is best job.
Yep. Oh, and it's not their fault. They know exactly what they're doing. See, the thing is, it's instinct. Your tribal in-group preference is always there. Only the very, very strongest can suppress that or ignore that ad infinitum, forever. Most people, it's a part of you. So you see this in prisons. You see this in any situation. People, when it gets dangerous, when it gets sketchy, when it gets uncertain, they stick with their own. That's what happens. That's life. I just live here. Everybody is racist. Everybody acknowledges there are different races and people are different depending on which family that you belong to. There are different attributes and characteristics depending on which one you're talking about. They are different. We are different. We are human beings, but we are different. Just like dogs are different breeds and birds and cats and fish and everything else on this planet. To say otherwise is ridiculous. It's blatantly, obviously untrue. But you've successfully brainwashed a lot of the white people to not believe that. That's not a thing. And you should actually open your doors and welcome that for the entire world who does believe that. They're all working for their own in-group personal preferences, their own tribe. Everyone is doing this except us. Because it would be bad if we did, said all of them, plus our traitors. Huh. As they take everything. That's funny. It's almost like it's not a strength, and it's like it's a weakness. Like we're suffering somehow, maybe. Everything seems to be getting worse for everybody. The standard of living for everyone I know is down dramatically from where it was 15, 10 years ago. Dramatically. But hey, you know. We've got King Mahabuli Muli. So, it's okay. And if you were wondering, it's certainly nothing to do with the crime as well. This is just one of the pages. Where's this court doc? Sarnia. You guys, anybody from Sarnia? Court docket list. Here's who's in court today. Singh Singh, Jasbir Chatta Divrav, Gurpal Jagpreet, Kangura Mohammadi Panjit, Sandhu Sindhu Tanush. Mostly Indians. Huh. Oh, JJ Transportation and Company. That sounds like a trucking service. Divraj Freight Service. Okay. So Indians. I was like, Dylan. Oh, no. Parash Deep. Never mind. There's got to be at least one white guy in here. Mr. Flatbeds Transport. No, it's Indians. Oh, Langstaff Samuel. Thank you, Samuel. Finally. Good job, Samuel. Good job, Samuel Langstaff, preserving diversity in the court system in Sarnia, because otherwise it would have been literally exclusively Indians, and we can't have that. Otherwise, people might get under the impression that Indians are mostly criminals and committing all the crime. So it's a good thing there's at least one white guy in there in court in Sarnia. At least there's one. At least there's one guy out of like 50 on that page that wasn't Indian.
Somebody walked up to me and goes, "Your terrorists should go back."
Alberta's a different breed, yo.
Oh, it is. It is. They're like, "You immigrants are killing like white people jobs. You're taking our jobs away." And I'm like, okay.
Yo, Alberta's a whole different breed.
And now I don't blame them. Now I've been living in Alberta for like almost 3 years now. And I'm like, yeah, he was right to say that.
Well, he knows. Yeah. They know. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing so much that they're coordinating it online. They actually tried to have this removed for hate. because they were caught openly plotting of how they could get more out of America, how they could get more for Indians and their own tribe in India, how they could take more from America, how Indians as a group could take more of America. Someone clipped that and said, hey, look, Indians plotting to steal. Oh, that's hate. And they appealed it and they let it back on. Hindu activists argue they should mirror the Jewish community by promoting their ethnic agenda with collective unity. Their goals include controlling the media, funding candidates, using temples for political activism, censoring Hindu phobia, and having the U.S. adopt a pro-India foreign policy. The correct response to this is not, hey, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. Nobody, everyone's doing that except us. We're losing. So the solution is not stop everyone else from doing that, which you can't. The solution is you must also adopt the same mentality if you want to survive, because you're the only group of people not doing it, and you're doing it at the expense of being preyed upon by everybody else until there's nothing left to take. And do you think they're going to take care of you? Do you think they're going to be generous and look out for you? They built Trash Mountain.
And as for your question about, like, you know, what the Jewish community has done, they've built very strong networks through, like, obviously a lot of advocacy groups. And I feel like, you know, Hindus can sort of mirror that by fostering strong connections through temples to organizations. And we can also form, a lot of advocacy groups. Political power and collective unity is also very, very important. And that's what we as a PAC are trying to do. We're trying to get a lot of these Hindu Americans who have traditionally voted for Democrats. We are trying to sway them towards the Republican Party. That's collective unity is also very, very, very important. You have a lot of mm-hmm. Jewish PACs that have demonstrated influence in foreign and domestic policy. They educate policymakers. They fund candidates who align with their interests. And they ensure that their issues, like their support for Israel, are central to U.S. policy. And so,
so what you're saying is,
oh, this guy's name is Pranesh. Sure, why not?
That you admire the Jewish Zionist strategy of subverting and manipulating America to support their home country of Israel. And you want to do the same for Indians and India, once again, at the expense of Americans. Am I lost? Where did I get wrong here?
We should create similar organizations that promote Hindu and Indian interests that strengthen Indo-US relations and that highlight, you know, our issues, like Hindu persecution. Like Hindu
Garbage Island. Why don't you deal with the garbage river? Why don't you deal with that, you fucking parasite? Here's how we could steal more from America. Oh. Nowhere in that conversation is, hey, how can we make America better? What can we sacrifice and give to help, you know? I notice you fight a lot of wars, America. Can we donate, like, tens of thousands of our men and like, whoever you need? Well, use them as you see fit so that we feel like we've earned a place in your society and feel like we belong. We've earned it in blood. The same. No, just how much you can take, huh? How much you can take from us? Really? I see. I don't know. Remember that spirit? I don't think the American spirit resides in you, India man, because that's not what an American does. That's not the American spirit. That's not the American way. I'm not American, but I've known a lot of Americans, and some of my family are American, and I worked with a lot of Americans in the military. I know them well enough. I know the difference between an American and not an American. See, I can tell the difference, and that's not an American! Everyone loses their minds. Because one little old Indian pooped on the street. Yeah, I wasn't one. It was quite a while. And what is that about Israel anyway? They do a lot of admirable stuff.
Unless you're an American veteran and you have a brain in your head, then maybe it's not so much. But
what else the government did this past weekend? Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, just passed a bill. The House of Representatives just passed a bill that gives the soldiers of the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Force, you now have Israeli Defense Force foreign military receiving United States military benefits.
This is true.
Well, what he just said, what Joey just said, people here can't even afford health insurance, and now they're giving it to a foreign country, which in my opinion is a fucking enemy. They're the most disgusting evil country on earth that has attacked the United States multiple times, and you're gonna give them benefits, and you're telling me these motherfuckers deserve to live, these politicians deserve to be alive? Get the fuck out of here. They're all fucking traitors, and they deserve to all be fucking hung.
I think America's got free speech. That's what you put in prison in Canada, to have those feelings over, you know, treason, over your government parasites, taking the what, as he said, the little money that isn't enough to care for their wounded veterans that the Israelis demanded we create in the fucking first place. There's not enough money to take care of them. So you know what we should do is take some of that money, maybe even a lot of that money, and give it to the fucking Jews. Maybe because they're so broke. Because they're broke. That's who needs the benefit money. Not the American veterans. The IDF baby dart throwing motherfuckers. That's who needs the benefits. Right, Ezra? Right, Tim Pool? Right, Ben Shapiro? Right, you fucks? Threads getting loose. People are wearing thin, you know? It doesn't even matter what happens to me. It's done. The torpedo's in the water. There's not enough time to move. It's only a matter, how long, you know, what's the, is it, how long does it take to hit the boat? You're cooked. You're cooked. You've lost. You're never going to win anybody back. And the way they're trying to hide this now is the Muslim pivot. You guys ever hear about the Muslim pivot?
That's what they're doing. We'll get to that in a second. Frostbacks is checkout. Renulf? You mean Ralph Fiennes? Guy pulled a 500-pound sled across Antarctica. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Speaking of doing hard shit, that's insane. That's intense. Bullocks is needed to write words to donate. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. He says, it's been said every Russian was touched by World War II. This angle of death, now touched my family. It was only a matter of time. Bless this online chat. Fuck, man. Sorry to hear that. No, I mean, nobody gets out alive. We're all going home eventually. Jensen says, hardwood, no feet, look at my ass. That's basically the stream. It was from a while ago, but that is essentially all. That's what we've been talking about all night. Alex Wood says, the poor young pee-pee alone in his room at night, hearing the banging on the wall coming from his father's bedroom. Do you think he laid there and wondered which one was which? That's how every kid wants to think about their dad, right? Which side of the gay sandwich is dad, I think. I wonder. Both, maybe? I don't know. Patton says, why? Why? Because he sent them. He made me think about it again. So now you have to hear it. If it comes in my head, you're getting it too. That's how this works. Be careful. Once it gets spinning upstairs and whatever comes out, it's not my fault. It's not my responsibility. I'm not legally responsible for anything I say on here. I'm not. Your Majesty, I plead insanity, you know? Zanel says, forget the fissures. I'm scared to imagine what the household budget for Preparation H was. See, here, we're right back to it. Brooker Tease is sitting here laughing that the peak white band music is Romeo and Juliet and an epic jumping scene in a ballet. Hilarious. Don't fucking diss ballet, dude. It is girly and feminine and gay, whatever. But the women are really into it. But however... Like, I don't enjoy ballet because, again, it's very feminine and girly, however. But
they suffer tremendously to do that job, that art form, that, you know, it is insanely difficult and very precision. Like I said, high level of art. It is not something you can just do. Look at my ass. Anybody can do that. No one can just, you know, rip off some of these ballet moves they do, which is like pretty impressive sometimes. On some level, even if you hate ballet and you're like, it's the gayest thing in the world, I'm going to sit you down at, you know, early 20s and you're going to be forced to watch this. And this gorgeous woman is just going to be flying around like on superpower magic feet legs. And you're going to be like, part of you is going to go, well, huh, you're going to think some things. It's impressive, you know. It's better than, hey, I see my OnlyFans. Like, one of these is substantially more like, wow, you know. Took a lot of time and dedication and discipline to do this. Very powerful legs, you know. Perhaps our children would be powerful as well. Dad, what are you doing? Nothing. I was thinking about my gay dads again. Shut up. Watch the ballerina sluts. Dad, I thought you brought me here to bring me gay. I brought you here to do the opposite. I don't know what I thought. I'm getting a drink. They serve beer here. The good old days. What the fuck am I talking about? Let's get out of here. I have no business being in the ballet world. Yeah, I saw that movie with Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis, but they were crazy hot back then. Everybody watched it. Shut up, you watched it. You know? Just be thankful I took more than something away from it than how hot they were. Like, hey, you know what? Ballet is pretty hard. Looks tough. Good for them. I watched them. I paid attention. I gave it the respect it was due. In between. Move on. Wrap it up. My producer's telling me to sum it up. We got to get out of here. I'm going to get sued. Droff Warwick says no Gentile deserves to live according to the Talmud. Don't worry. There are friends just like the Muslims. Yeah, the Muslim pivot. I got to mention that before I get out of here. Intrusive Thoughts says Project Wendigo is going great. Oh, great. We don't need more monsters. They tend to make wet meat slapping sounds. No, I don't want to hear about it. Just do it, and I don't want to know. It's a black project. It never happened. I have no recollection of the events in question, nor have a statement to make at this time, sir. I plead not guilty. I plead ignorance. Steve Robitaille, thank you very much, man. This is very nice of you. He says, please take my HST savings so far. Oh, man, you don't have to do that, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. He says, keep your heads on a swivel. Says, my pillow guy is now making my trebuchets. Well, if he's got more than one, he's re-engineered his skill. Now he's not making pillows. He's making more valuable things. He's contributing to the economy. He's making siege weapons, which we might need. Would you rather have no trebuchets or some trebuchets? Like, obviously, you'd want some. You're like, why do we need those? I'm like, we don't need one now, but might we in the future? Of course, you can't predict the future. You don't know. You don't know if we're going to need trebuchets or not. I don't know what, but we'll have them. You'll be like, damn, if only we had trebuchets. We're like, I actually have two. I've got two. And you'll be like, wow, the foresight. And we will use that to put Milhouse and Melissa in and launch them over the Atlantic Ocean back to Israel, where they so desperately want to be, where they so desperately need to be. Stiegel says, if you aren't Canadian, and we all know what that is, you're going back. If you were wise, you'd leave now. It's the patience is running out, man. You know, everybody's fine to roll out the welcome mat and, you know, help out and everything. But when it comes to the cost of your sisters and moms and grandmothers and everybody, like, nah, that's over. That's all done. It's like you had a party, house party, and somebody was like, hey, I want to bring a couple of my friends over. And you're like, who are they? Don't worry, you'll love them. They're amazing. And then they show up, and then they want to bring some of their friends over, and then those friends come over. And after a little while, you know, you go upstairs, use a bathroom, come out, and you're like, I don't know who anyone in my house is. And things are getting broken. And I think, did someone piss on the floor here? What happened to the door? Why is that? Okay, that's enough. And then you're like, I think it's time to end the party. I think everybody needs to go home because somebody is attacking my sister in a locked room upstairs. Oh, no. Now all the people, the friends that have come over are saying, actually, this is our party now and you have to leave. That's the situation we are in. So you have a choice to make. I choose the extreme. I choose the bad guy route, you know? Ooh. That's hate. That's the appropriate reaction to abuse, to disrespect, to people taking advantage of you and the people you love and hurting them and stealing from them. That is the appropriate response as a man. That's what you're supposed to do. Your way is lay down and let them rape you and hope they have mercy. They won't. But that's what you're hoping. Go ahead. I hope it works out for you. It won't. But go ahead and do that. You have no right, however, to stop me from defending myself how I feel I need to defend myself. That's not your decision to make. If you want to go out there and you want to lay on the ground and have people rifle through your pockets and put shit in your mouth, and you go ahead. Stick needles in your arms and steal your wallet. And you go ahead and do that. But if you want to insist that I and everybody I know has to do it with you, you can get fucked. I will sail you right through the living room window with Pinder at the same time, if that's what you want. Is that what you want? Just because you're one of us doesn't mean you can commit treason and get away with it. In fact, we would have expected more from you, right? You should have known better than that. What kind of person chooses literal strangers and people from God knows where over their own people, their own community, their own towns, and their own, like, what in the is wrong with you? Those are your own, that's your family. And you're choosing at their expense to, wow, you know? And at the same time, I'm the moral arbiter of the, no, you're not. You're a fool and a coward. And everyone is seeing that, and more and so every day. And the future is not good for you. It's bad. You're going to be reviled. You'll be the most hated generation of people in history. You'll be cursed for generations. For generations. Win or lose. Win or lose. You know how I know this? Because history. People could fight wars against each other, and one side loses, the other side wins, and then later, you know, they're like friends again. 200 years, like, you know what I mean? Like, England and France, like, yeah, they've... Scotland and England, Ireland and England. England and everybody, basically. But when your own people stab you in the back, you never let that... That's forever. That's betrayal. That's traumatic. That's heartbreak, you know? It's like you can be angry at the Muslims and these other people all you want, and you should. But, you know, they're just playing for their team, aren't they? At least on a human level, you should be able to understand that. It's not as insidious and sick as someone who would knife some of their own in the back to please them so they could get money, so they could get stuff and things. That is a whole other level of shitbag. That is not just a soldier in a cause that's on the other side of a fight that, you know, that's not what that is. That is a conscious decision to become Judas. Those people are never forgiven. Their names are cursed forever. That will be your legacy. That will be the legacy of the ruling class and their supporters and cheerleaders and all these people today. Win or lose. Because even if we lose, they lose. There's no way out. But hey, you got some coins out of it, though. Did you get a nice car? Did you get a new pool? It paid for your pool, right, officer? Good. It was worth it then. It paid for your pool. Because the politicians, right, they're the ones that allow these kinds of things to happen.
Muslim rape gangs targeted tens of thousands of white girls as authorities ran cover. That was a conspiracy theory. Years ago. Hey, Derek, you listening? Remember that? That was a conspiracy theory. Canadian Anti-Hate Network said it was Islamophobia. Found two 13-year-old girls naked and drunk in the company of seven adult men. Girls were charged with public intoxication. Mm-hmm. Some estimates put the number of victims at more than 200,000. Cops, bureaucrats, social workers, and prosecutors desperately tried to sweep the sickening scandal under the carpet because they were cowards and they don't have the parts to do the job when it's hard. They're only here to do the job when it's easy. They signed up for the money. They signed up for the status. They signed up for the clout. They signed up for the lifestyle. That's what they signed up for. They didn't sign up to look out for you. They certainly didn't sign up to protect 200,000 young girls from being raped into oblivion. Because if they had, they would have done something about it. They didn't. They are not worthy of forgiveness, of empathy, of respect. What kind of monster actively hides that? Politicians do. The reason they did nothing are demographics. Have you seen the demographics of my writing? Mm-hmm. I'm going to spare you the details, but it's as bad as you think it is, it's much worse. Reports blocked, arrests torpedoed, and any connection to the ethnicity, immigration, or Islam was underplayed. One recent study revealed that in Telford, 1 in 26 Muslim men were prosecuted for sex grooming between 97 and 2017. In infamous Rotherham, it was 1 in 73. Oh, twice as bad. Those caged received light sentences? Yeah, well, we don't want to be Islamophobic. As for the cover-up, there have been no consequences. One Labour MP opposed further inquiries while in Rotherham. There were 265 misconduct allegations involving 47 cops. No one's been fired. Their job is to protect people and hopefully the children and little girls, and they just didn't. And they didn't even fucking get fired. They're still working today, probably assisting. Maybe they're involved. And, you know, it probably sent some people are probably quite obsessed. Sarah Wilson, 13, when she was gang raped by a small army of faceless men on a dirty mattress, off her head on cocaine and cheap vodka. Her rapists were in their 50s. She was raped every week until she was 16, and then she was considered too old. At her care home, instead of raising questions, social workers paid the cabbies. So they find homeless, you know, wow. When I was 14, I called the police to report a rape. They asked when it happened. I said 2 months ago, but told them I got raped on a regular basis. They said, there's nothing we can do about it. It was at the end of the conversation. They didn't come out to see mother. And here's, you know, there it is. You know, there's people, the damn Muslims. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. And it's not wrong, but just wait. Labour Party is under fire for its refusal to back a public inquiry into the historic sexual abuse by grooming gangs in Oldham, with the critics accusing the party of prioritizing political optics over the justice of victims. So this is kind of a scandal happening now, and Elon Musk has stepped up to the plate to retweet Tommy Robinson. You know, anti-white, traitor, Zionist, drug addict Tommy Robinson. Hangs out with Sikhs and, you know, prostitutes Tommy Robinson. Mm-hmm. He's receiving backlash for boosting far-right activist Tommy Robinson. Now, it's interesting, at this time, when Elon's under some heat and Trump, and they're being attacked for their stance on needing many Indians. I mean, we need people that build garbage island and poop giant garbage sea garbage islands into the sea and build the trash Mahal. We need them. They have a 76 IQ. We need them. Millions of them. But more so, that same element of people are also acutely aware of why this is happening, right? That's what Elon is trying to distract you from. That's what they're all, this is the Muslim pivot. See, once people start to kind of catch on and notice some things, they divert. Oh, look over there! Muslim rape gangs! Yep, that's pretty upsetting. Let's just focus all of our attention on that now. Well, it's funny you bring that up. Wonder if I can search Twitter and find this really quickly. I went to Twitter and searched Barbara Spector and found it immediately. I'll just let her tell you.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive. I think that
when they tell you what they're doing, believe them. It's right in your face. You know, I used to say it this way when I knew a little less, but I still was kind of on the money. They're trying to elicit the emotional reaction, the response. They want you to focus on the Islam thing. Because, hey, war with Iran is coming, right? Probably, maybe. Good luck, Trump. I wouldn't be going outside. I wouldn't be going outside of an armored bunker at all if I were you. But, I mean, they'll probably still get you in there somehow. Gas or snakes. We went over the snakes. But we are gearing up for Iran. So it's helpful to have the anti-Islam sentiment come back. That'll be helpful. And it takes attention away from all the Indians and, more importantly, how they got here. So, yeah, it's normal, and you should be upset if you're, once again, you're a sheep farmer. Your sheep are your livelihood. That's how you feed your family. That's how you pay your bills. They're as part of your family as any. They're an integral part of your life. You need them. You take care of them. You feed them. All of that stuff. You give them names. You know, the kids play with them. They're kind of part of the family. You know, the dog chases them. The dog loves the sheep. You got a sheep dog. You ever see that video of the dog? It's like super disciplined. He's like, yeah, yeah. And he just takes off and herds all these, like, hundreds of sheep. And he's so fast and he doesn't even get tired. It's incredible. We love the sheep. Good sheep. That's a good fucking sheep. You know, I'm Scottish. We like the sheep, you know. Not a lot of resources up there in them hills. Got to find something to make clothes out of and eat, you know. And then one day, some or a lot of the sheep have been killed by a wolf or wolves. There are wolves. Oh, no, there are wolves killing your sheep. Your whole family's like totally focused on the wolves, wants to kill the wolves, got to get the wolves, 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 wolves every day, all day. All they want to talk about. We got the wolves and some of the wolves and some of the wolves ran away and there's more wolves out there. We got to get these wolves and yep. And you just can't help but remember, like, I built that fence. Like, how did they get in? And you find out that the fence has been cut. Wolves can't cut a fence. How did wolves cut a fence? With tools. This has clearly been cut by tools. People did this. Forget about that, Dad. The wolves. We got to get the wolves. Yeah, yeah, but if we don't find out who did this and stop them, they'll just keep. Why would they do it again? There will always be other wolves. Or other predators, other things. The wolves didn't create this situation. Now they're part of the situation. We got to deal with them now. They're here. What, you know, great. Yay. Careful if you draw any critical cartoons, especially if you're French. Maybe they show up to your workplace and kill everybody. Maybe they go to a death metal concert and, you know, massacre everybody there. Maybe any number of the end. Wasn't there just a massive terrorist attack in, was it New Orleans or Texas or somewhere? Diversity is a strength. We had to. How did they get in here? So Elon will jingle the keys and go, oh, look at the wolves, everybody. Yeah, that's that. How'd they get in here, though? Because they're from really far away. Whose idea was it? Whom? Because it seems to me like that's the bigger problem. And until that's resolved, this you're just going to fight a never-ending battle of wolf catching. That you'll inevitably be, you know, over. There's more of them every day. They come back every week and cut the fence, and there's more wolves. Soon you won't have any sheep left, and then you're screwed. If you don't stop whoever's destroying your fence, you're done. You're done. But that's a difficult conversation. People don't want to have that one. I'll read the last couple of these and I get to get out of here. We started early, we're ending early. I like this time slot better. I don't like being up till crazy hours. That's a lie. I'm usually up quite late. But me and Morgan have to watch our shows. Stuff like that. Let me read these, and then we'll finish up. Keep your head, says immigration is the biggest shit river in the world. It flows into every nation. For another day, maybe, but in a certain functional capacity, it makes sense, and it is beneficial to your society in a very limited sense. You know, this is how they sold it to people. We want eye doctors and brain surgeons and really rare, hard to find. We need them now. It'll take 10 years to train some of our own. This guy will come here and do it right now. And if he does, we'll save thousands of people. Boom, bang, boom. See, it makes sense. And if he wants to come here and swear allegiance, yep, I'm on your team. I'll burn my old passport. I don't give a fuck. I'll live here and ride or die till the end. And you guys are the best. Cool. Yeah, that guy can stay. That is not the same thing as, hey, all of India. We don't need janitors. We don't need people that shit in the street. We don't need that. We don't need rapists. We don't need thieves. We don't need fraudsters. We don't need criminals. We don't need gangsters. We don't need terrorists. We don't need thieves and criminals. We don't need a bunch of Indians or Chinese or anybody from Latin America. We don't need them. They're not a net benefit at all. They're a drain, and we have to pay for it. They're not contributing anything. You saw the numbers? There's no jobs. There's no work. So why are you bringing in millions of people to destroy the people that live here? That's why. Jen Steen says, CRJ and I hold each other on the bow while they yell Mossad burb right ahead on the stern. On the bow. Okay, he's on a boat. Mossad burg right ahead of the stern. It's too late. If once you see the Mossadberg, it's already too late. OG Mango says, tonight's Ragecast Mute is sponsored by Ragecast 310. You shut your mouth. I did find it, right? I tried to upload it to Telegram, but it was too big. So I was like, I have to think of another way. I'll have to cut it up sometime. Might as well just make people pay for it. I just super grift. It's like, oh, it's a special street. There was nothing special about it. It was actually, it's just become a life of its own. Jen Steens, I'm a bad guy. I need to confess. Good. You should go to your local Canadian anti-hate network establishment right now and let them put stuff in your butt. That's the only way that Evan will ever be satisfied. Professional CRJ, we're about to be ruled by a man who walked in on dad's... I don't know which do I... Yeah, let's just... I wanted to end this on a positive note. I was trying to end the stream a certain way, and we, again, right back to it. I was near the end. There was only a couple of chats left. It was the second one from the end, and I almost made it. We were right there. We're right at the edge. It's right at 12. It was perfect, and then, right at the finish line. Ribbon is there. People are, it's almost over. Almost made it. And just flying through the air. Spiraling right towards my head. It's a giant dildo. CRJ threw a giant dildo at my head. I got to get a new job. Ginger Snaps, thank you very much, man. He says, Happy New Year to you and the Queen. Things are starting off quickly. Any predictions for 2025? Everything's going to get worse. I didn't even get to the Sean Ryan stuff. There was this guy, the Cybertruck attack. Okay, the government killed him. There's a lot of weird stuff about this. Sean Ryan had a guy come in. The emails, apparently they believe it's legitimate. This guy was he was a special forces guy claiming that they were after him, and he was trying to leak some stuff about these drones. And anyway, yeah, it appears to be a legit story, and that's who was blown up at the wherever the Trump building was the other day in Las Vegas in that Cybertruck. They're lying about whatever that is, too. I don't know what the hell that's about. You can't trust anything they say. All we know is that that truck blew up and that guy was killed. And that's really it. Why, how, what was going on, what's true, what's not. We're basically in a war, guys. And when you're in a war, the information is all weaponized. It's all trying to make people react and be. It's all manipulating. It's all, none of it's for your benefit. It's a, what you got to be very, very careful what you believe and what you look at and go, that's definitely what happened. You don't, were you there? Do you really know? Ferry said something like this the other night too, and it's so true. I've said it before, but it's like, it's a lot easier to be real schizo about conspiracy theories until people start making them up about you, and they're it's the dumbest shit you've ever seen in the world. And it's like, okay, you got to, never mind stuff at like this kind of high level, shenanigans, which is going on. There's games being played that we don't even see the players moving. We don't even know. We're just seeing the aftermath of what's happening. Like the Las Vegas shooting, right? It was like, what was that even about? Depends on who you ask, but it's like not at our level. All we know is it wasn't us. It wasn't the people. It wasn't anything to do with us. That's for sure. So, yay. Dirtbag Welder, redacted orcs everywhere, sir. I'm not sure what that means, but I think I like this out of it. Bearded Indian says, every prime minister since Pierre Trudeau should be remembered as a traitor for supporting the revised Immigration Act. They haven't done a lot to protect us. Understand the invasion, understand the Jewish importation of cheap African slave labor. Same thing. Employers profit, community pays a price of political and social decay forever. Well, yeah, they're bringing in a new subclass of people who don't mind living 20 people in a house. They literally came from garbage Taj Mahal Island dumpster trash river, okay? They'll work for nothing and live in squalor. They don't care at all. And who benefits? These billionaires everyone seems to love so much, right? They'll just replace. They don't need pensions. They don't care. They're just happy to have fucking chicken shawarma and free porn. You know, they love it. You and your fucking standard of living and pensions and all this kind of stuff. Nah, there's profits to be made, Kevin O'Leary! Talitl says, Chinese people never swear. Ass-ho, Chinese people never swear. I see. Ass-ho. Swiss Daniels, eat the street soup and die, sir. I will never do that. Stick, how are you? He says, Rage, come on, Indians have landed on the moon, so there's Taj Mahal. Yeah, I'm sure they did. It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. No, the Indians didn't do anything. It's all a scam. Everything they do is a scam. Everything is some form of scam. The Bearded Indian, Florida has Space Mountain. Canada has Trash Mountain. Well, that's technically India, but I'm sure we will also have... The trash is accumulating in several neighborhoods. People are uploading it going, it's just a pile of trash like you'd see in the third world. And yeah, Indians are just dumping it wherever. And then act stupid like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Plutonimus says, injustices committed by those who are supposed to uphold the law cause hate. The Rothschilds are responsible for a many rotten child. And Wolf Blitzer let the wolves in. Yeah, Wolf Blitzer's not a very innocent guy, is he? He sold that war real good, didn't he? What was I saying before I get out of here now? He let the wolves in. Who did that anyway? Because somebody did. They got in here somehow. They didn't cut a fence all over their own, did they? More of an important question, but... They don't want to have that question. They don't want to discuss that. I want to talk about that because, well, that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because of decades of conditioning, emotional conditioning, to make you feel a certain way about certain subjects and certain topics and certain people. This is not a logical reaction. You're reacting emotionally like a child does. You're feeling anxious. You can, I'm uncomfortable. Why? We're just talking. If I asked you, if you're sitting in a room with two men debating which trucks they like better, Chevy or Ford, do you get anxious and nervous and feel like you need to leave? I don't want to hear this. I don't want to have this talk in my house. I don't want to.
Why not? It's just talking. Why are you emotionally reacting to something like that? Like, I don't care about the Armenian genocide. I don't care about the Native American genocide. I don't care about the Rwandan genocide. I don't care. I don't believe in it. I don't even believe. I don't care about whatever Alexander the Great did. I don't care about any of that. But if you say, you talk about the special people, all of a sudden everyone gets anxious and their hackles go up and they get all, you can't. Why? Why are they more special than all those other people I just mentioned? Why are you so defensive about that? Never mind that. Just go to bed, ignore the fence, and focus on the wolf problem. And who says that? Well, that's your mayor. That's your town mayor, the government, right? You went down into the town and you're like, yeah, somebody's cutting my fence and my wolves are getting killed and I'm worried for my livelihood, my family's safety and all these kinds of things. And they said, oh, well, that's just, you're full of hate. And being attacked by wolves is part and parcel of living in a rural community. So you should just learn to enjoy that. It's diverse. It's cultural is what it really is. And if you keep complaining about it, we're going to charge you with, wolf hate laws. And as you're leaving the mayor's office, perplexed, I mean, I can't believe that kind of an answer. That's crazy. He's there shaking hands with some Israeli guy who's putting money in his pockets. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, they kill our soldiers deliberately, lie about it, cover it up, blame us, take our money, throw darts at babies, steal nuclear weapons. Be part of the leading change that is going to change Europe, and it must change, and it will change. But if you talk about any of this stuff, that makes you the woke right. You're the woke right. You're the friggin' woke right. Okay. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Oh, golly. Oh, the woke right. Well, you're just a coward. Because you know that whoever's cutting this fence has influence at the mayor's office. So whoever this is above you. This is beyond you. This is no simple wolf you're dealing with. This is a much bigger foe that you have in front of you. So you have to make a choice, either ignore it and go along to get along and just pray and hope for the best, or set out there to find what this is and what can be done about it at your own expense, at the warnings and the urgings of the town councilors. Don't you be going to pay for it. The police are going to be. So you're asking me not to defend my family because it's dangerous? Because you're not doing it. You're actively covering it up. If I don't do it, who does? And do I want to be the kind of father and man that leaves behind the family legacy of when we were living through this and this was going on, you know? Dad was too much of a pussy to do anything about it. What does that teach your family? Do you love your family? Would you feel like your father loved you if he wasn't willing to defend you? At whatever cost? Because isn't that what love means? It's like hate is the glazing, the icing on the cake, the top. The tasty part, the exciting part. But it's not, without the cake, it's nothing. It doesn't hold up, it doesn't go anywhere. What's going to motivate you and carry you is that love for the things that you care about. The love you have for your family, your friends, your community, yourselves. This place, our home. It's our home. This is our home. This is where we live. This is a sacred place. We only get one. We can't ever get another one. We can't snap our fingers. We can't exit load last save and just play a different game. When it's gone, it stays gone. And it might take hundreds of years to get it back, if it's even possible.
And there's people that, oh man, I'm a patriot. I'm good at, are you really though? Well, I'm not going to do anything that's going to get me in trouble. I don't want to. So you agree that the future of civilization is at stake and our country's being absolutely ravaged and destroyed by criminals and gangsters, but you don't want to do anything because someone might get mad at you? The people destroying us might get mad at you if you fight them. This is, I'm just asking, is this your logical process here? And so that's just not how it works. You need to be strong to survive in the world. How do you get strong? You get strong by doing hard stuff, by putting yourself in difficult, maybe you don't look for problems, but you know, when life throws problems and challenges and difficulties in your way, you don't hide from it. You don't sink into a depression and just drink into the bottle and spend 20 years going, woe is me, I'm a poor victim, oh, all this happened. Just sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. Where do you go? You go nowhere. You stay in one spot, drunk on the side of the road for the rest of your life like a loser. Because you didn't want to go, you didn't want to face it. You have to go through the pain and experience it to become stronger. How is a sword made? Right? People like swords. Swords are cool. You know, they pull out that big sword like the guy from Lord of the Rings or something, right? Masterpiece. Look at it. Beautiful. Glistening. Gleaming in the sun. Razor sharp. It's a work of art. It's magnificent. It's almost too pretty to use. You don't want to dent it or chip it or anything. You don't, like, I don't even want to use this. And that's what, you know, people see that. And they go, wow, look how much it's probably worth. What is it probably? Wow, it's amazing. Look how beautiful it is. Look at all that. I don't really see, I mean, you see that, but that's not really what's under there. What you don't see is everything that it took to get there. This was just raw potential. It was just iron. Steel. It had to be melted. It had to be melted in a furnace. Cast and poured into a shape and then beaten with hammers repeatedly. Bang, bang, bang for God knows how long. Then you drive it into some cold water. Does this sound like a pleasant process if you're the sword? Does this sound easy or like a good time? Oh, you're not done. Oh, we got to sharpen this. We got to get on the grinding wheel, and I'm just going to grind this thing down until it's good and sharp. I'm going to polish it and beat the hell out of it until it's perfect. Almost had to destroy it. Almost destroyed. It was basically melted. And look at it now. I don't know what that sword would feel like, but it's not really a person. But the metaphor's true. Sword doesn't really have a choice. It can't give up. The sword has no say. It is being a sword whether it wants to or not. And in the end, it's going to be magnificent. The difference with people is you do. And you can choose to give up and shy away and hide. But if you don't go through the fire, if you don't face the problem, if you don't fight the dragon, you'll never get to be that thing. You'll never get to see that. You'll never get to appreciate what you're really made of, what your true potential really is. So if we're in a world of 14-year-old boys that want to play video games and hide from their responsibilities and their problems, and they play these video games and they live in these fantasy worlds, envisioning a different time, envisioning themselves as something, someone that matters, fighting for a cause that's important. I mean, what are these games about? Are they playing checkers all day? No, they're not. They're living in a fantasy world. Because everybody's retreated out of reality to live in fantasy worlds, reality is being picked apart. So if we're living in a world of 14-year-olds, we're going to have any hope at all, maybe it's time to do some growing up. See my brother's falling. I hear heaven calling. The
Because so far, the Johnny Nice Guy approach, it's not working very well. Nobody respects us. They walk all over us, and they have no fear of doing it. Because who's scared of a little boy anyway? What do you think, Phil? We're getting off to a wild start already. Cybertrucks are exploding. Trash Island. Taj Mahdumpster. I don't need distractions. I don't need fantasies to feel alive and feel like my effects here on this earth in this limited time meant anything and went anywhere. I could just do it right here. And it's a hell of a lot more satisfying. Don't let them rob you of your life by living in fear. You can suffer or you can suffer. You can hide, but you'll pay the consequences. Or you can fight and you'll pay the consequences. The difference is how you feel about yourself. And if it's gotta hurt either way, might as well do it pushing the rock in the right direction. You know what I mean? See my brothers falling. I hear heaven calling. The devil won't let me be. If I'm gonna blow up my back, I'd rather do it pushing a boulder uphill for my friends and family and the things I care about than because I was too fat from a lifetime of sitting on the couch being a fat ass and I threw it out trying to take a shower. Either way, my back's getting wrecked. You can't escape. Choose wisely, you know? I don't need a New Year's resolution. Every morning, every night, every day, just look in the mirror. Who do you want to be? Who are you? Don't let them tell you. Don't let... Fuck them. Fuck their politics and their teams. And no, no, no. None of that matters. The guy in the mirror is who matters. Thanks very much, guys. Hope you had a good evening. A good Christmas. A good New Year's. We'll see where this one goes. I'll be back on Tuesday. RagingDistance.com for all of my links to social media and that stuff. Appreciate you. See you on the beach. Six Epitrust! Pro Patria.
What the hell is this, Phil? No, I know it's Beethoven. I mean, where are we going with this? Balaclavas, is this the IRA? I like how you've trained them to move and communicate to the sound of Beethoven. It is kind of frightening. You put a lot of effort into this. Why, Phil? A present for who? Whose birthday? These guys, you've made an army of classically music-inspired gorillas to yeet the Jeets, and you're giving them to Derek for his birthday? I think he will like it. He'll be touched that you cared, and I think anybody would be pumped to have this. Does it have to be so ominous, though? Like, I don't feel good about it. You know, it's hard to feel good about it. I feel like I'm the bad guy. What do you mean lean into it? Like,
You're right. I just got to embrace the madness. Don't think about it so much. You're right. You're right. You're always right. It's not, I mean, no, it is. It is kind of like Schindler's List. It does have that vibe. But unlike that one, like, I want to see this movie. It's not sad that it's happening. It's sad that it's come to this, but it's, you know, had to be done, you know? I'm excited to see what Derek does with it. Happy birthday indeed.